Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. Participant code 385-698. You can also find those numbers on our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. Top left side, weekly call. You'll find the information there. All radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have any questions or a comment. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send questions to questions, plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You'll see their banners on the right-hand side of our website, which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance to Save America. Also, please don't forget to support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. you know, right now we do have a lot of extra expenses. We've got more phone lines coming in, and so that new bill is over, just for the phones, is over $400 a month now. So that's sort of an extra cost that we didn't have before, on a monthly cost. So we have to try to make that money up. So please, anybody who's not donating, please consider donating. We also purchased quite a few thousands of dollars worth of hardware for our faxing systems. And we thought at first we were going to save money and have more extra money to be doing other things with, and possibly cover some of the mailing costs. But then we got hit with a surprise and cost us more for hardware, and we're still struggling with the software at the moment. But our funds are pretty much exhausted. We're, you know, kind of on the wire right now. So anybody that can send anything in, it definitely would be appreciated. We've got a lot of mailing coming up. We're going to be mailing Congress soon. And Congress is 530, I believe, representatives. So we have to, you know, we have to mail them hard copy, because they're going to be our next target for mandamus. It's very specific things that we want to tell them or talk to them about. And so, you know, the mailing alone is going to be about $300 on that, just on the stamps. So, and it may be even higher than that, depending on the weight of the envelope. So, again, anybody that can help out, we'd appreciate it. So go to our donation page, and you can either, you know, do something weekly, or you could do something one time. And also there's an address there if people would prefer mailing something in instead of, paying with a PayPal, you know, pushing a button there. Okay, let's see. We're going to look into the Lord's Word. Tonight we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to look on verses 1 through 14. That's Proverbs chapter 11, 1 through 14. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteous of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but the multitude of counselors, there is safety. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. Okay, Proverbs chapter 11, 1 through 15. I think I said 14, but we did through 15. We have no particular topic tonight. We've been really extremely busy doing a lot of things. Just sort of an update of some of the things we are doing the IRT group, which we're now changing over to the name IRC, which I think might be a little more appropriate. We talked about this last week, and we had a meeting, and we had an instructional on writ of habeas corpus, writing writ of habeas corpus. Now, anybody who missed that, should get out onto the website. Go to nationallibertyalliance.org, highlight jurist, and click on WIT training, W-R-I-T, WIT training. When you click on that page, you'll find that we've got a lot of information up there. We've posted up templates for writ of habeas corpus, both for the state and for the federal. We also have a couple of audios up there. We have an audio that was a sort of an orientation for the group, which we did back in June. But this new audio was the one we did this past week, which is up there now. And basically, it is basically a training forum for the purpose of writing habeas corpus. So everybody should go through that. I'm trying to get out to the page right now. I'm getting service unavailable, so it may be too many people trying to get to the page. Let me see if I can get there again. All right, but anyway, all that information is on that page. Now, anybody, this page is not available to anyone who is not signed up for an administrator. Only administrators are we teaching this process to. In order to become an administrator, one of the prerequisites is taking the civics course. And this other course, which is the writ of habeas corpus, is a writing course. And again, this is the beginning, the introduction to that course is what we put up. I'm still getting the services temporary unavailable. Hey, are you trying to get out to that page too, Gary or anybody? Are you getting the services unavailable?
I'm getting it on other pages as well.
Okay. I don't know if there's just too many people out there right now or what, but in any event.
I think it's a full moon.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, those pages are up there. And we do have the front page. I got onto the front page. But people who are going to become administrators must take the course. So let me repeat this. We have a lot of people who signed up for administrators and yet have not they signed up for the course. They're taking it, but they have not come forward to take this written course, which is learning how to write writs. If you're not qualified to take on the job when these job positions open, you're not going to be permitted to take these jobs. It's our duty to make sure people are qualified to take these positions. Now, as long as you're taking these courses and the positions open, you know, that's on-the-job training. We're good with that. We're learning. At least some of the people should have already have gone through these courses and gone through the written courses by then and can hold the weight of the others while the others are going through that process. But people need to become qualified to take on these positions. So a prerequisite, I'm going to say one more time, a prerequisite in order to become an administrator in your county, which means you become the administrator for the juries, okay, which is a full-time job, working out of the courthouse, bringing together the grand jury or the trial jury when they're necessary, when the sheriff might call for them or a prosecutor or anyone else, making sure that these juries are available, that we go through the orientation with them and prepare them for the job that they're about to go forward on, which is, of course, judging someone either as a jurist or a grand jurist. Of course, we have to be able to assist these people in their writing of the papers once they come to their conclusions, whether it's the grand jury or whether it's the trial jury. We have to assist them in a writing. And it's got to be what their decisions are and what their conclusions are, but we have to assist on how we can write that and put it into proper form. So we need to know how to do those things. So it's a prerequisite to take the civics course. If you go to look on the jurist page to look for the writ page, you won't find it if you're not signed up as an administrator. So if you're not signed up as an administrator and you are signed up on the course, you can get a hold of Gary or one of the others, national coordinators, and have that box checked off for you. We'll have to do that in the background for you. So we can check that box off so you'll be able to see that page and other pages. We also, again, as a requirement, is this written course. We're also going to be doing a a constitutional course. I know we mentioned this numerous times, and I just want to bring it up again. It's coming, maybe not very quickly, but it's going to come. And it's going to be another prerequisite. Once we get the course up, anybody becoming an administrator should take it. Now, those people who aren't planning on becoming administrators, they should take all these courses anyway. You know, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, forget about it. It's not going to happen. And they expect what never was and never will be, Thomas Jefferson. So we all need to become educated. We all need to know these things, and we should gain as much knowledge in these areas as possible. So, again, everyone should take the course. You can download the audio, listen to it, and then get involved into the media. I mean, not into the media, into the IRC group. Now, we changed it from IRT, from team to committee, which is what it probably should have been anyway, not team, but committee. So it's the investigative response committee is what it is. And that's where you're going to learn all the writing through that group. So everybody should get together and sign up on that. Now, we're creating a new page, hopefully within the next week. It'll be a new group inside National Liberty Alliance, which is the IRC group. And we'll organize within there. We'll have an area where we'll have discussion groups going on in there, particularly on the matter at hand, these things about writing papers and other things that we need to know as administrators for the jury. And also through this, you know, we will be able to score your process, you know, as you're proceeding and going forward. Your progress, we will be able to score that and get everybody to a position where they need to be to have the knowledge to do what we need to do. I guess that's with that. That's all for there. Gary, do we have any questions? I think you mentioned we had some questions from last week. Do you have any questions that we want to respond to?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back on some of that.
Okay.
We had. Oh shoot! There you caught me.
Okay. Well, good catching you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we have any, we got it. You can break in later on, and we can answer those questions. We'll try to keep them up front on a weekly basis. Whatever questions come in, I know there was a few. I mentioned that, but I was resting on you collecting.
Yeah, I should have consolidated them. My error.
Would have, should have. Okay.
Yeah, would have, could have.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I got one that I know you've answered a million times, and somebody asked it, and I got a little sarcastic-y because, you know, when you're a teacher and you repeat yourself so many times, sometimes you want to make people not forget. But am I one of the people, and how do I know that I am? Just saying so doesn't make me one of the people.
Well,
and so
yeah,
I,
if you got, you know, a beating heart, you were created by God, you're one of the people.
Right. So, it's a matter of, you know, let them prove you're not one of the people if they dare, right?
Yeah, the key to being one of the people is the fact that we have unalienable rights. And the fact that we have unalienable rights means we get them from God. And God gave unalienable rights to mankind. So all the people have those. Even the evil people have the unalienable rights. But they're not happy with everyone having those rights. They want everything for themselves, obviously. So, but, if you got a beating heart and you're flesh and blood, you're one of the people. And it doesn't matter where you come from. No matter what country or what nation you come from, and you come to the United States, you have all the rights as anyone else in this nation has. You have every right. These are unalienable. They're not determined by being an American or Chinese or something.
That's a big misnomer.
It's flesh and blood, a beating heart.
That's a big misnomer. People think that people come from other countries don't deserve the same rights as us. Now, maybe they shouldn't vote because they're not here in our system. But, you know, that being said, you know, you get a guy that comes over and commits a crime, they don't want to give him a grand jury. Justice is justice. It doesn't matter who you don't get. These are rights from God. They don't come from men. And so I'm glad you said that. I'll sign off. That's a big one. They say, oh, he's from this foreign country. He's a terrorist. He's this, he's that. Look, justice will come regardless. We all have the same rights under God. and we will convict them under God. And if we can't convict them under God, then we didn't do our job properly, did we?
Well, if we didn't convict them, we might have done our job properly if we didn't have the evidence, even if they were guilty. If we don't have the evidence,
you can't make a presumption. Right.
Huh? Have,
well, that protects everybody.
Correct.
All right. That's all.
Okay. Let's see if there's anything else here. I guess that brings us to kind of a, we're going to go right into the open forum. I just want to make the note, we don't have particularly a topic for tonight. We usually try to have a topic. We're behind in a lot of things, trying to catch up on a lot of things, and hopefully next week maybe we'll have a paper written ready to go out, and we'll be back on top of it again. But we do have a lot of writings to do, and we've got lots and lots of habeas corpuses, quite a few. And we got a lot of things going, and the CPS and the family court thing we got going. So there's a lot happening, a lot of activity. People need to get involved and get into the committees and become part of the committees and do something here to help work together to save this nation. Okay, with that, I guess what we'll do is we'll go into Q&A. So let me turn Q&A on. Before anybody goes into the room, to get into the room, it's going to be star six to get into the queue. Let's let the people, everybody wait 30 seconds. I'll tell you when I'm turning it on. Let's wait 30 seconds, and let's let the people who have not had a chance to talk, or especially if they're new, first-time people here, or people who have never had a chance to talk, or people who haven't talked in weeks. So let those people come into the queue first, and here we go, Q&A. So let's give them 30 seconds, and then after that, we'll open it up. Okay, Sharon from Connecticut, go right ahead. You got the mic.
Hi, John. How you doing this evening?
Good. Good. And yourself?
Real good, thank you.
My question is, who do we call if we see suspicious activity? Or you were saying a couple weeks ago that if we saw anything that didn't look right, or troops that were, say, foreign, who do we call? You said call right away, but I can't remember.
Yeah,
who
I don't recall particularly anything saying, but maybe Gerard said something like that, but I didn't.
Okay.
That I recall anyway. But we, so far we haven't seen anything happening with Jade Helm.
We put a lot
of pressure on them, and I really do believe it's our paperwork that really kind of foiled their game there. But we have more coming out, and I know they're going to try to get sneaky, and I think they're trying to regroup themselves for September, and we're preparing
possibly
for this August to really put the pressure on them. As soon as we get the software straightened out, and we start writing, we got some of this stuff already written. We just got to, finish it off, get some papers.
Yep.
Pressure's going to be on again, and we're going to be pumping out on a daily basis lots of paperwork all over.
Oh, boy.
So.
That sounds beautiful. And if I could just ask one more quick question. I was reading something about, when I was listening to the civics course, I guess it was Bill Thornton, and he was saying that if we wanted to file a counterclaim and become the plaintiff, and I'm not sure how this went. I'm
right.
Trying to from memory.
Well, if you want to make the battle in the court.
But the case number would be given to you. And see, I've always taken the case number from when I was the defendant. And when I became a counterclaimant, I put that in as the case number, so maybe I was doing something wrong.
Well, we don't teach that. Thornton's got a different strategy. He goes beyond where we're going. We're not really teaching people to go into the courts to battle
right.
them out. We're giving them some ideas of things they could do. We're teaching people how to get out of the courts. Now, if you're going into the courts and you're being, if they're coming out after you for any purpose, you could shut them right down. I wouldn't bother doing a counterclaim. I would do a habeas corpus, get out of the court totally. It's a conspiracy. They brought you into a foreign court, and then you can open your own court and sue direct as the petitioner. But you have to really hold tight onto your court, which is a tricky thing to do right now.
Okay, yeah, because they've got a criminal claim or complaint against me of interfering with police when they came over to my house on my property with a note, with a posted no trespassing sign, including any and all government agents. And but anyway, they you know, I kept asking them where their warrant was. I wanted to see their warrant. And well, they put me in, handcuffs and put me in one of their cars, or their four-wheel drive it was, and no air on and loud music blaring, and it was like 2 p.m, sunny and hot. And but anyway, they've pulled me in there once, and I was going to do an exhilarated remedy. You know, because I've never been in trouble, and that I could do it for a year. But I thought, gee, that's, after I thought about it, I went back in and said that I didn't really want to do that. So,
well, you know, what was it, the town police, or who was it?
Yeah, it was. It was the town police, but then the state came.
Well, that's good. Then you get them both on. Look, this is what you do if you want, okay?
I want to
get out of that court.
Wait a minute.
Well, let's go back to it.
Was there not a warrant? You never told us. Did they?
There was never a warrant. They never showed me a warrant. They fingerprinted me.
So let's go to where you got to go with this, okay? There is no. There'll never be a warrant anyway. You know, they play their games, and they don't have a warrant. They certainly don't have any sworn affidavit or any of those things. So okay. What you want to do is you want to get a habeas corpus going to get out of that court. So you should talk to the IRCC team. That's number one. Number two, I would suggest, if I were you, this is what I would do, is I would file a complaint of harassment, and I would do an affidavit and say exactly what you told me. It was in the middle of the afternoon. It was hot. They put on loud music. It's like, that sounds like they're trying to break you is what they're trying to do. Okay,
yeah,
I would write it like that, and I would do an order. Look for an order of protection against both the state police and the town police, and that's what I would do if I were you. And
an order
of
protection.
An order
of protection.
Sounds
like a great idea.
And you do this to the sheriff. Go down and make the complaint with the sheriff.
Well, we
and
don't have a sheriff in
court.
Connecticut.
Yeah, marshals. That's true, but you got the marshals, which we're going to fix that as soon as we get going, of course. So
oh,
matter of fact,
I know.
Maybe that's, we should start working on that, too, now, at this point in time. But anyway, you want to get your paperwork in to get out of the court, and then, of course, you then have an option of suing them using that paperwork against them as a default. You want to know, because in the paperwork, we're going to know where is the warrant. Where was the sworn affidavit? Who was the complainant? Where is the, you know, what was the, you'll have the police officer's name, so you'll have all those names in there.
I filed a freedom of information, and they didn't give me any of the names.
No,
they didn't even give me the.
No.
They
no,
would at the courthouse. They never would give me anything.
No. They're not going to give you anything. No. You got to go and once you get into go down and get the docket. Okay, get the copy of the docket.
From
the court.
The state
Every
attorney?
Court has a docket. No. You go to the court, the clerk, and they have a docket. Look, they open a case, they give a number to it, the case gets opened, they have all the players, the judge, the lawyers, all the people, they'll have exhibits. If they have any kind of a complaint, it's all in there, all the exhibits are in there.
I wonder why
get
they didn't
the
send that to me.
Oh, no, they
sent me, it had
that.
A docket, but it didn't have no names or nothing, just
Sharon,
my name.
Sharon. They won't give it to you. Why would they want to give you evidence?
Okay, what did you say to do? Go, ask the clerk
you go
for
Go down
it?
To the clerk, and you tell them you want the docket. You want a copy of the docket and all the exhibits. Now, if they try to charge you, you say, oh, no. These are criminal charges. You guys initiated this. You paid for it. I'm not paying for nothing. You shouldn't have to pay for a docket. Okay. You know, nowhere in anywhere does the state file criminal charges against you and then turn around and make you pay for paperwork to find out why they're bringing you to court. You know, so, but I'll tell you what, worst comes
Don't
to worst.
Don't give them any ideas.
If worst comes to worst and they do charge you, okay, then pay the 10 cents or 25 cents of paper.
Yeah,
there's probably
not
that many. And then put it into your affidavit what they've done. Look at all this is evil. Now they're going to
Open mouth smiling and all of them. There must have been 10 of them here. I know my neighbors thought they were going, woo, your guys are having fun today.
Okay, they're going to default on everything. So that's going to be that's going to be your proof for the next time around. You use your default, okay, that you're going to get out of their court, be defaulted out, and then you can go sue them and open a, do what's called a Article 78, which is a show cause. Okay, show cause why a judgment shouldn't be taken against them, and write a whole paperwork on it, you know, open a court of record, I'm one of the people, so on and so forth, in this court of record, I'm suing these people for these situations, and you do a good wherefore clause on the back end of it, saying how much you want, what you charge for these violations of your rights, and whatever damages and whatever restitution needs to be made, and so on and so forth. And when you do all that, now you do it in a show cause. Now they have to answer that, okay? And they can't answer that. They've already defaulted once. They can't give a good reason why they defaulted the first time, and you're going to ask the same questions anyway the second time. Okay, and they're not going to answer it because answering it would put them in jail. It makes them a criminal. So they can't answer it. They'll default. What's going to happen, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen, before the 30 days or the 20 days are up for them to respond, okay, they will go and conspire with the judge, and the judge will pull you in on the 29th day, and this has already happened to us, and say, and then we'll say, well, they didn't ever answer. Well, they don't have to answer because they did a motion. Oh, really? They did a motion. Yeah, their 30 days starts all over again after this day. I mean, it's ridiculous. But in common law, that's not the way it works. But they will pull you in order to do a summary judgment or to make some kind of a summary decision, which is not lawful in a common law court. And then that's when you take it and you make it federal. Okay. Now you might be able to make it federal right off the bat because they violated your unalienable rights, so it's you're in the federal courts. But then they're going to try to get a judge to get in there to throw it out. They're going to make motions, and you have to object. First of all, this is not the way common law goes. You don't get any decisions. You have to operate under American jurisprudence as far as how a judge or a magistrate might act in between things, and certainly. You don't have the ability or the options or the ability to make a decision to make a judgment, a summary judgment here. So, but what they're going to do is try to get it thrown out because the judge is going to work with the prosecutor and the other judge and all the cops.
Conspiracy.
And they're going to get them all off. It's a game. Yeah.
Yeah.
But now you got to sue that judge. You see, that's the next step.
Yeah, and I've seen him once, and he's very hesitant on what he's going to do. But I'm supposed to go back in on the 27th, I think, about 3 weeks. So I might have time to do these things before
you don't
I even
have
go
time.
Back in.
No, you don't have time. You got to do it now or not do it at all.
That's what I mean. I have time between now and then to
but
get
you don't
these...
have time to wait. If you want to do it, get it in tomorrow. Look, I get calls all the time, people, I got to go to court next week. They knew about this for months.
I've got 3 weeks to go, but I can do one every 3 days or four.
What's that?
Habeas corpus, I can send the paperwork in every 4 days.
No, I don't know what you're talking about with that.
The habeas corpus, if I want to get myself out.
Yeah, we do the habeas corpus. We have there's a process. You have to get up.
Well, I mean, I would have a friend of mine do it or, someone.
No, you do it. You're not in jail, so you can do it.
Okay.
The only time we use an extra.
But I'm under constructive custody.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You're
imprisoned in that way, but the point is that you're not in jail at the moment, so you do it yourself. Don't trust and don't have an ex-friend do it if you can do it. You know your case better than them. You can write your affidavit better than them. You're there.
All right, I'm going to get to work on it tomorrow.
And listen, they got 4 days to respond. That's what the 4 days is.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Every 4 days, I can send another one.
No. Do it once. They default. That's it. It's over. You just give them a notice.
You mean you only send one letter?
Exactly. That's all.
I thought it was a petition and then a show cause and then a default.
Let me tell you, look, what you need to do is get up onto that page and listen to the introduction to this whole thing, because we laid it all out. We spent 2 hours discussing the process, the procedure, and the paperwork. And you have to understand how this works. This is not something that you do per se, although there is a way you can do it. Thornton teaches that. We're not teaching that. We're teaching something far more powerful. We're teaching how people does a petition. Habeas, the normal process of a habeas corpus is a petitioning the court for one. And guess what the answer of the judge is going to be? Denied.
Nothing.
That's his answer. He's going to deny it.
Oh, yeah, denied,
It doesn't matter how strong your case is. It doesn't matter. So, you see, we bypass the judge because, you see, we're the grand jury. Now, from the Thornton's perspective, he could bypass the judge also because he's there to sovereign of the court. He teaches a little bit different strategy. But what we have is you're going to petition the court through the grand jury. So you're going to the grand jury to request the habeas corpus. And the grand jury is blessing that and saying, yes, you got cause, we're going to give it to you. And then we give 3 days. When they default, the grand jury sends up the default and sends up the papers and does a memorandum of decision and gives the conclusion of the matter and tells them to cease and desist. You see?
Ooh.
And then they put forth the orders and lays everything out, and it orders the other court. So you got a federal grand jury ordering a town court to cease and desist. What do you think they're going to do?
They're going to do it.
They're going to cease and desist.
We're at 15.
They're
going to
cease and desist.
Right.
Oh, that's
okay,
great.
Okay, Sharon.
Thank you so much,
and
God bless you and your family, and you, Gerard, and your family. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, it looks like Pamela, 939 number, you got the mic.
Yeah, she's actually in Puerto Rico, and...
Pamela.
She probably walked away. Is there any way just to skip her and come back?
Let's just give a second or two. There she is.
Hello?
Yeah, sometimes it's the star six. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have my phone on mute. I'm sorry. I just realized that. I was wondering, when there's a reason. When is the – I know you're very busy doing everything. When – you had mentioned a couple weeks ago that about – writ of mandamus is being done for the media.
Right.
I feel it's very important because there's information that needs to go out to the people, and it even now, if they knew what was going on. As for example, Karen Hudis needs everyone's help right now, and she's trying real hard to get news out. And some of the biggest news that happened. If you go to her page, the network of global corporate control is in receivership in the global death facility. She says that we have won, the network of global corporation ignores this, and she's trying to make people aware of this, and that the media won't cover it.
No, they won't. Look, the media is bought and paid for. It's controlled by six major corporations, ultimately. Most media is controlled by that. But they've got other things holding down, even the smaller media outlets. It's a real problem. But, we're going to do something with them directly, but not right yet. We are working. We have our priorities, and we'd like to have been done with a lot of things, but... timing's not in our hands. It's just not. I mean, we definitely need more help. We need help. Everybody needs to get involved. Everybody needs to join a committee and start getting involved. Everybody needs to learn how to do the paperwork, especially if they're going to become administrators. So we're falling behind because we don't have enough help. And we're trying to get some skilled people and put them into the right positions so that we can really move things along. So, everybody needs to volunteer. But we are going after the media soon. They're going to be held. Their feet's going to be held to the fire sooner or later. And I'll tell you what, I think it's going to take something really hard. And there are things coming up that may be hard, some real hardball stuff. It's going to take those things to get us into the media maybe. And then finally we'll get in. But I don't think we're going to give them forgiveness because finally they had no choice but to report. I think once we get in, we need to start seeking licenses. Everybody in every county, all of us, need to start looking at all the medias, and we need to give them a call and say, hey, this is the grand jury administrators, and we'd like to know where you guys were when we almost lost our country some weeks or months ago. How come you didn't report on the stories? How come this and how come that? And it's time to yank their licenses. Literally take their licenses away. We, the people, can have the power and the authority to do that. So, first of all, they all should be indicted, okay? And that, of course, is really the key part to this whole thing, and that's where our power is, indictment. So whatever we have to do to take those licenses away, we need to do it because they betrayed us. So, but we're working on what we can, and things will be happening hopefully soon, but timing is not in our hands.
Some of the big news that the way I understand from reading your paperwork, these big companies, these big financial companies that were in control of everything are now in receivership. So the bad guys are no longer in control. Now the good guys are in control. So that's why she's going to be able to get back into her business, into the World Bank.
No, don't you believe that the good guys are in control? That's all baloney. No. Really? They have everything locked down. It's a game they're playing. There's a lot of things that we hear and a lot of people think that these are good things, and they're saying these things to relax people so that they are, okay, I can get back to my life. I got enough problems in my life. I don't have to worry about that now. The white hats are going to take care of it. Don't you believe it for a second. America is only going to be saved by you and me. That's the only way America is going to be saved. It's not going to be saved by them. It's not going to happen.
Right. One thing that everybody can do right now, it also be a small thing they can do besides, you know, what they can do with helping NLA is for everybody to go to Karen Hudis Whistleblower and check her post. She's asking for everybody to contact county executives to get them to vote to get the gold back.
You can vote all you want to get gold back. They're not going to give you gold because you voted in. Look, if you're going to put your time, if people are going to put their time in, that's what National Liberty Alliance is about. Put your time in where it really counts, where you get the power, you get the authority, and you save America, because no one person's going to save it. No one group is going to save it, and certainly not people in the World Bank or anybody that's they call them the white hats here. It's not going to happen. It's just you're fooling yourself, and we're fooling ourselves. That's all we're doing.
We all have to work together.
Let's do it ourselves. Let's take the power. Let's take the authority. Yeah. Let's step up, and let's rule our nation the way it should be.
Right.
All right, we're on track at 5 minutes, John.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Martha. Okay. Okay, next caller is Ali from Colorado.
Hello, do you hear me?
How you doing, Ali? Yes.
Hey, a quick heads up, John. I don't want to scare anybody, but let me give you a bit of history. I was in the Navy 61 to 69. In the 60s, they had the Freedom Riders all wound up. They had the anti-war demonstrators all wound up. It was a subterfuge. At that time, we went down to Kingston, Jamaica. Okay, for some reason, they let us off at noon. At 2 or 3 in the afternoon, back aboard ship. Before we hit the seawall, we were at full general quarters to blockade Cuba. Now, I see signals right now. Ferguson started last night, had shooting last night. If there's more riots and more riots, it is a strong indication that things are going down in September. Now, I'm playing tag with the next Marine here right now. I'm with the three uppers here in Colorado, and I'll tell you what, they are cocked and loaded. They are ready to go. Their roll calls are being taken. Advice I would give the people is this. If you live in a large city, have a full tank of gas, have an emergency kit and supplies in your car, and have an escape route, you know, go if you got an uncle on the farm, then go there. But right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, definitely
it's
figure
very,
a place to go, that's for sure. Have a place to go. Don't wait till the last minute to figure that out.
Right, and get acquainted with your neighbors. You know, I'm in a college complex here, and I really don't get acquainted with my neighbors too much, but get acquainted with your neighbors. Just be prepared. Have water, emergency rations, and I'm halfway psychic, and when I take a reading, they're in confusion. They have lost control. They don't have the control they think they have.
I agree. Yep.
I think we've done about a bunch by contacting all the governors. I haven't heard anything about Jade Helm. The only thing I know about Jade Helm right now is Texas and New Mexico is a hot spot. Now, I have heard rumblings about Canadian troops coming over the border into states like Montana and meeting up with foreign troops. Things like that are hard to verify. But Jade Helm has been quiet, 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 not a word. But
right. You know. Well, we sent letters to the governors. We put them on warning. We told them we will indict them for subversion of the United States of America should they go forward with this. So maybe that had something to do with it. And we also, of course, sent things up to the United States Supreme Court. And again, we sent everything out to everyone concerning this fact earlier on, concerning Jade Helm particularly. And so we did a lot of paper writing and filing, and it's been filed three different ways, so to speak, in all 94 federal district courts. So it's on the record. Every judge in America has gotten some from us that's on the federal and state level. And of course, law enforcement, FBI, marshals and sheriffs, they've all got something from us. And we're continuing. You know, that's why right now we're in the process of getting ready when our fax machines finally turn on, which hopefully will be very, very soon. The only thing that's holding us up is some kind of a bug in our software. But once we get that going and we turn these fax machines on, they're going to be going almost 24/7. You know, they'll probably go all night and off during the day, all night, off during the day, that kind of thing. But they're going to be pumping out papers to our servants through faxing them. So
yes, that's another thing I want to bring up is know your sheriff. Talk to your sheriff. Get acquainted with your local police force. You know, and I'll tell you, I can't see our military shooting on American citizens. I'll never believe that, but I knew there's thousands of foreign troops, and they're in Montana, and they're all over. But just be aware, I really don't see it going down. I don't. My gut says it's not going down, but I like I say, be prepared. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, everybody needs to be prepared. There's an emergency coming no matter what. And there's going to be a monetary collapse no matter what. Is it going to be a hard hit or a soft fall? You know, which one is it going to be is the question. And if it's a soft one, that means that the people got the control and we're trying to bring things back up again. And that can happen, and we can get back up and going very quickly, in months maybe. But we have to be prepared for the worst, I agree. And that's why at National Liberty Alliance, we only choose products from people who will support National Liberty Alliance on the one hand, because by selling their products, of course, we make a few bucks to continue on. It pays the bills. But these are important products, things that people need, like food independence. You know, you could buy a bucket of food for a couple of $100 and it would feed a family of four for a month or two. I mean, I'm not sure exactly the breakup on this, but this is the kind of thing you can get. You should have a couple of buckets of food, be able to throw it in the car if you got to run. You know, you should have a bag of silver when you're going on a run if you got to move. Or it doesn't matter even if you don't have to move. You need some silver. When things start to settle down, you're going to need silver. You're going to need seed. We have the seed vault here. You're not going to find a better deal on seed vault anywhere on the seed than the survival seed vault that we sell through, and it's the patriotsupply.com. But you go right through our website. And there are other things. You know, we also have a colloidal silver maker, okay? It's called Silver Lungs. And again, that's something you need, especially if you would have a wound or something, or even an illness. You want this stuff. These are the things people need. So everybody should be planning and preparing food and money, water, and if you're in the city, an escape plan and a place, a destination, somewhere to go. And of course, you need weapons and you need ammo because you're going to have to protect yourself and your family. So.
Okay, that's all I got to say. So, hey, thanks. We'll talk at you later.
Okay, thanks a lot, Ollie. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Maud from New York. How you doing, Maud, out there in Long Island?
Yes, sir. I have something to share.
Yes.
I signed up today for something called Solar City. Have you heard of it?
No.
Well, it's a company that makes the Tesla cars, and they make their own solar panels also, and they offer people the solar panels. You can have three different ways of getting it. You can rent it, you can pay it off, or you can buy it outright, and they charge you nothing to come to your house to estimate, appraise. They take care of everything, and you pay them like the electric company, but less.
Wow. Hey, why don't you give me a call?
Solar independent.
Why don't you give me a call tomorrow or the next day, sometime in the next couple of days, and tell me some more about that. Give me some information, a phone number, and I'll look into them.
Yeah, we have to talk anyway.
Yes. All right. Well, give me a call tomorrow or something, or the next day. All right?
Okay. All right, I will, because this is really a terrific idea. And
absolutely. I like
people,
it.
You know, people can just get their solar energy.
Yes. I like it.
All right, John. Have a good night.
All right, Maud. Thank you. Let's see. Douglas, 707, you got the mic.
Yes. Hi, John. Thanks for taking
yes.
my call. Last night, I had the opportunity to talk to the NLA Child Protection Services Committee, and I also invited three guests on. They allowed me to do that, and so all four of us laid out what's going on in the violent crimes against children covered up by law enforcement, and it was really well received. And so I just thank you for forming that committee. And also, as we discussed before, this Wednesday, every Wednesday now until the Pope gets here, we'll have a two-hour show. And instead of starting at all, everything has all week long, weekdays, this starts at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, which is, of course, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, except for on Wednesday when we go after the Pope. And so we're going to have an awesome lineup of five people speaking for the 2 hours starting at 6 p.m. Mountain and 8 p.m. Eastern. And four of them are females, including the two founders of Child Protection Services for NLA, Christina Bigelow and Sheila Burnett. And then we're going to be going after the Pope big time. And the first hour is a Jewish friend of mine for 20 years who became a born-again Christian, and he wrote the book The Illuminati. And so we're going to really go after the Pope big time, because, you know, the Illuminati was created in the Jesuit University in Ingolstadt in Bavaria. And so just hope everybody will listen in and tune in to all our shows, because we're helping to build the NLA movement. So thank you for letting me make that announcement.
Okay, appreciate it. All right, anything else, Douglas?
That should do it.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Okay, next caller, Ed from Connecticut. You got the mic. How you doing, Ed? Star 6, Ed. Ed from Connecticut.
It's the mute button he's missing. His own mute button.
No, he's unmuted. He's okay on this end. He may have himself muted on his end in other ways. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. That's what I always do when you call me.
Yeah. Ed from Connecticut, going once. We're going to go. Ed from Connecticut, 203, going twice. Ed from Connecticut.
It's not his mute button, it's his mic. Buy a new mic, Ed.
Going three times. Okay, we're going to move on. Last call for Ed from Connecticut. Okay, Pebble from North Carolina. Pebble from North Carolina. Hello, how you doing, Pebble?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I've been listening in to you keep talking about the course for writing the habeas corpus.
Correct.
Which is amazing, and I will get to that as soon as I finish my civics course. But
well, you should be doing it at the same time if you can. If you're going to college, you usually do more than one subject. Just do a little bit of this every day and a little bit of that every day, or every other day you change over. You know.
All right. I was wondering about writing a bill to stop the police brutality that we see, you know, we see it on Facebook, we see it on YouTube.
Well,
everywhere.
Yeah, you're talking about true bills and different things, and we'll get into teaching people that too. But we don't really have, the power or the authority of like a habeas corpus. A habeas corpus, that's the first step, because they can't turn away from the habeas corpus. They just can't turn away from it. And so that'll give us a foot in the door by writing a lot of habeas corpuses. And we're going to be chasing a lot of these cops that are out there beating up people. I mean, they're like gangs themselves. And I'll tell you what, who I want to go after. I want to go after the FBI or whoever it is, especially who comes out with the IRS with these SWAT teams. We got to find out who these people are. We need to go after them, and we need to indict them. Because these people destroy lives, destroy homes, put fear into not only the people they're going after, but also their neighbors and also the people's children and even animals sometimes get injured in these things and even killed.
I totally agree. I was just thinking with writing a bill to stop such a horrible act, we could actually, the people...
When you say write a bill for legislation...
Well, yeah, we could get it ratified by using...
We don't need to do that. No, we already got our... We already got our orders. It's called the Constitution. We can go after all of these guys just with the Constitution. The Bill of Rights will kick their rear ends. We don't need a bill. We, the people, will come with our paper, and we'll go after them and indict them.
But we have to get the judges out, the ones that are...
Well, that's what we're working on. We're working on that right now. It's a matter of time. The pressure is on in the courts right now, and we're going to continue to put it on and press it higher. We're going to get it hotter. And more and more people are coming into National Liberty Alliance on a daily basis, and we're growing, growing, growing. There's going to be a point, there's a spillover point when they just can't hold back no more. And the dam collapses.
We got to stay the course, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. We have we already got a plan to execute everything you're talking about, and it's all in what we're doing. We're spearheading our way into the courts. And once we get in there, and then the people will take control on the county levels, the people within their own counties, and we'll start educating our juries, and we'll start doing some heavy-duty indictment, and we'll start removing people from office and all the necessary things that have to be done. But it'll happen automatically. Ultimately, because all we need to do is just apply the law the way it is. That's it. And everything will fix itself.
When you apply the law like this, it helps to have the people, and that's what we're about. You have to have the people, enough people, that understand what the law is so that when you do it, you have the force of people. And that's what we're doing. Every time they write a bill to protect something, it makes it weaker. Most of the time, it doesn't need any protection. It's already there. But
right,
they want to ignore the constitutional issue. And they want to look at, we don't need a bill to protect marriage. Marriage is a biblical institution. And this government, and we have Supreme Court rulings that say this, was founded on biblical principles. End of story. Nothing else to talk about.
Agreed.
And so we can go in with the Constitution. with that kind of a suit in a common law suit, and they can't answer it. They have to answer it. And look, at they can ignore us all they want, but like John said,
then they default.
They're going to look at everything we're doing is we're making a record. At some point, the people are going to see the record and pick the record up and enforce the record. I mean, we're going to do it, but we've been establishing our record, you know, in honor, in notice, and that's the game. And if they don't see it, the reason they don't see it, it would be only one reason, that God has blinded them. And he's given us more time to pick up more support. But look,
but
that's
the key. There's power in numbers.
This is the battle. This is the revolution. It's happening right now, people. Make no mistake about it. And we are it. And that's why we got to be professional, and we have to be diligent, and we have to not squabble amongst each other, because we have to be a single force. And our single force is the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Our single force are those principles that we're using to go through the courts, honor, justice, and mercy. These are foreign things to them, but these are things that people are starving for. Once the word gets out, it's a tsunami. They can't stop it. And that's what's going to happen, believe me. I'm sorry.
With one American family.
Yeah. Okay, I'll be quiet now.
Okay, anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, thank you, Pebble. Appreciate the call. Okay, we're going to move on to Thomas from North Carolina. You got the mic.
Oh, John, this is Mark down in Pender County, North Carolina.
How you doing, Mark?
Doing well, sir. I was just sitting here thinking that on these Monday night calls, I know we're using a free conference call, and they have we're recording them, so we can actually use them to serve the repeats, you know, so somebody could go over them. If we would put the number up on the website where somebody could call in to and on their own time and get free conference call. Give the the cash to call instead of us
right.
trying
well,
to.
If you go to the nationallibertyalliance.org, up on the top left side is weekly call. If you click on weekly call, it not only gives you the instructions and information on how to join us, you can join us through your browser, your telephone, VoIP. There's all different ways to get to us. But right underneath that is a MP3, is a list with a title of every call we've made since our inception. So we have a couple of years of calls there already on MP3.
John,
you click on them, they download.
Well, I see that, John, but what I'm saying is if we put the number up there, see, then we wouldn't have to have somebody put together an MP3 file and stick it on the website, and
after the call, once we finish the call, it takes me 2 minutes to download it and post it. I just drag and drop right on through. I use FileZilla to upload. It goes right into place. I file it by date and give it a title so people can go through and they can look at different titles and listen to different programming.
But there is a different way for them to listen, and he may be talking about this.
Yeah, he's looking
for
the phone
number. There is a playback number.
Yeah, phone number.
Free conference call HD has a number that you dial. Like for instance, tonight, it's
right.
It's,
but each one of those calls has its own unique number. We'd have to give those unique numbers and post those unique numbers. It's a lot. Look at most people. Most people have a computer, and but not only that, you download them, you put them on your MP3 player. Everybody has an MP3 player, it seems, You know, you got the MP3s, you listen to it. When you're done, you delete it, then you download the next week, or you download a bunch of them and you listen to them or whatever you want to do with them. Now, we could try to set up the calls for the phones, but each one, we'd have to go back, and each call has its own unique phone number, okay? And you still would have to post it somewhere where someone would have to go look it up, and then they'd have to dial the number and use their phone. If they're going to go onto the computer to look it up, they might as well just click the button and listen. It's a lot easier.
An iPhone to get in, and that's what I'm saying is it's easy for me to just hit the free conference call number, give the PIN number to get into the
Right, so, but even on the iPhone, you can also, on your iPhone, you can download the MP3 right on your iPhone and listen, no?
I haven't ever figured out how to do that yet, but that's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm sure you can do it.
So, John, this playback number that's on the site right now changes every time?
Every single one has its own, because if you go back and click the playback button, how does it know which one you want to play back? This one is for this one.
So you have to
use the audio key. You see the audio key down there? 9795. Each call has its own audio key.
Oh, so you'd have to announce the audio key.
You have to dial in the playback number, and then you'd have to get the audio key for the week you want to listen.
The playback number never changes. The audio key changes for each one.
Right.
If he wanted to dial in and listen, he'd have to have that audio key. Most people don't want to do that. But listen,
what I'm saying is that if the number that we use on the Monday nights is always the playback number for that will always remain the same, I believe.
Yes, it
does.
Well,
the playback number is always the same for, but you still have to have the audio key of which Monday night you want to listen to.
So all you have to do is, if we said the audio key for this night is #9246. He could write that down, and he could go listen if he.
Well,
so
we
cares.
Could do that. Right, we could do that inside the call. Yeah.
Right now, I just gave it to you. If you want to listen to this one, it's #9246 after you dial the playback number. Now, look, we could mention that.
No,
in the beginning.
I don't have that number. I've got #9795.
Well, see, now there's a problem, because that's my audio playback, my audio key for the playback number.
Yeah, I don't know how that works then. We'll have to look into that. But right now, we have the entire archive of everything we've done since our inception. We have the first meeting.
I'm starting a fight here, John. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. No, it's just another way to do it. If we could do it, we'll do it. But I'll have to look into it.
Look, we're always trying to make things easier on the people. So if we could accommodate you with an iPhone, and it doesn't require a whole bunch of stuff other than announcing a code, we'll do it. But we don't know that that's the case. So we'll look into that and see if that's the case. And if it's that easy, then we'll announce it. But if it changes from person to person, number to number, then I don't see how we could do it. But we'll certainly look into it, right? That's
right.
What we're saying.
Okay, anything else?
I think that actually, you know, what you wind up having is the same access that you have here. You could call in and you could listen to this, you know, tomorrow night I could call in and listen to this call again if I had that telephone number to dial in.
The telephone number is 605. This is the playback number, 605-562-3149. That's the playback number. Now, which one you're going to be listening to, is it going to be just the last call? If you want to listen to something older, I guess you need a code. I never looked in to see how that worked because I never used it.
Yeah, and if the code was there, we didn't get it, and you're not going to get the old ones. But in the future, if we could give that audio key, and that's the key, we'll do it. You're not going to get the old ones because we're not going to go back there and look for that. I don't even know if it's still there, like John says, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we only got to give you an audio key and it's a unique audio key for that night, and you want to write it down so you can go back in a day or two, we'll certainly announce it if it'll work like
well,
that.
Well, look at here. We'll post the playback number on the Monday night call page anyway.
I think you
have anybody who wants it, and then anybody who wants to call in again through the playback number, it's 605-562-3149. Now, I don't know whether that's just going to, I presume that's going to play just this one. I don't know how you would play older ones, but at least you can listen to the one to pass, the last one.
Yeah, that's the only thing I was saying, is posting that number. And it would also take a bandwidth to load off of our servers.
Right. All right. Well, anything else?
Yeah. No, that's all I had, John. Thank you much.
Okay. Thank you very much. Hang on a minute. Let me find my way back to where I was here. Conference view. There it is. Okay. All right. Our next caller is a VoIP dialer. Looks like Don. Is that you, Don?
No, this is Greg in Wisconsin.
How you doing, Greg? When you come on a VoIP dialer, didn't it give you an option to type in a name, a contact name?
No, it did not.
Okay.
I'm looking at it right now. I just called the number, the 3140 number. I gave the 385698 number for a code, and there is no options to do anything else.
Right. Okay. All right. Anyway, go right ahead.
One of the things I was going to ask is, has anybody considered the fact that somebody could be messing with your computer software?
Well, that's a possibility.
I believe it is.
We just set it up, so I don't know yet.
I've listened to several calls enough to know that there's a repeating idea that there's always a problem with technology. The IT guys are looking into this or that. And I've had enough of my own stuff come up, missing off my computer. I've had files that I couldn't access because somebody had appeared to prevent access to them. I've had recordings come up scrambled. And the reason for this, what I believe to be harassment by the FBI, is in November of 2010, I reported to the FBI that me and my girlfriend were having people in northern Wisconsin here expose us to MRSA. MRSA's a superbug bacteria, and they exposed her at her job, and they exposed me at the local emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
We started getting repeat infections, requiring repeated amounts of antibiotics, and what I noticed is that we were both being given less than adequate enough antibiotics to get rid of the infection. What that equated to me was that if you don't kill the bacteria, it comes back stronger. If anybody remembers listening to the State of the Union address with Obama, he had talked about these superbug infections being one of the top five threats to the United States right now, and in fact the entire world. In May of 2010, in May of 2013, after having reported this to the FBI and they didn't do nothing about it, and they actually ended up coming after me and bringing me up on false charges, I was told by a doctor that our country is on the verge of a pandemic with MRSA.
Listen, I want to say something.
Yeah, you know, I was in a hospital not long ago, and they were talking about that. There was a big concern about that. And when I went into the hospital, they took a sample from me, from my throat. And then also when I left, they did the same thing.
Look, at anybody that goes to the hospital, when you go to the hospital, you have to realize that there's a lot of MRSAs in the hospital. They don't have to infect you with it. You just have to walk around long enough and you'll get it. I went to the hospital. My sister has kidney problems. She gets dialysis. She gets MRSA. And the doctor said MRSA is like staph used to be. He said if we do a nose swab of people walking down the street, 33% of the people have MRSA in their nose. They carry it. They don't get it. Why don't they get it? Because their immune system is high enough to resist it. But the minute you get run down and your immune system goes down, you can get it. It's out there just like anything else is out there. Now, your body has the full defenses to stop that. One of the reasons that they haven't produced a pandemic to kill everybody is because every time they try to do one, it's never going to kill everybody. And they know that because they've done tests. And so apparently they don't have a high enough kill rate where they want to release something, or maybe they can't control it, so they're afraid to. But right now, MRSA, even though it's very virulent, and it basically attacks people who are sick and people who are old, and maybe people who are very young if you come into contact with it.
Now, by design.
Yeah, and the thing is if 30% of the people have it in their noses, guess what? You're coming in contact with it every day. Now, in a normal situation, in a normal population that wasn't eating a bunch of high fructose corn syrup and all this other crap and all this GMO, we would just build a resistance and it would no longer bother us. It's like those childhood illnesses like chicken pox and things. Those actually strengthen your immune system. And there's a benefit to getting those, because once you get over them when you're young, you don't get them when you're older. And there's other bugs out there that are similar to, let's say, chicken pox. And if you get them when you're 40, all of a sudden you got serious diseases and you're losing, you know, you're losing different glands and organs. They're damaging. But you see, if you get chicken pox, you get this immunity that even protects you from, I think it's MS and shingles and things like that. They say that shingles come from the chicken pox, okay? So it's all about keeping your immune system up, which is getting harder and harder to do in today's society with the food that we eat and the lifestyle that we lead. So it's very important to go for live foods and supplement your diet with good supplements. And anything the doctor gives you to get rid of MRSA, it's like taking money out of the bank. It may work, but each time it's going to work less. And if you don't do it completely, like you're saying, then what happens is you'll build a super infection that you'll never get rid of. You're better off not taking the doctor's medicine or at least getting off it as soon as possible. Let's put it that way. And doing natural stuff to get rid of it, cleaning out, staying away from crowds, at least until you get healthy. But, you know, look at, we can't, they would love a pandemic. They love anything right now to put the society under martial law. And the point is that there's no excuse for them to put people under martial law. And if there was an excuse, it's to be done by the militia, not the military. That's our whole fight here, because we know that they planned on these things coming. No doubt about it. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no look at, they don't buy 40 caliber shells without intending to use them, right? You don't buy millions and millions of caskets that hold six people without intending to use them. Now, why are you intending to use them? You know something we don't know? Is there a meteor coming that's going to kill a bunch of people and we're going to have to bury them? Or are you guys doing something? You understand? You see, they justify things to the troops and their people. They say, look it, we know this is coming and we have to keep government in force. We can't feed people if other people are out there with guns. This is the propaganda that they give to the military, which is, you know, they've raised us to believe that we can't take care of ourselves. Gee, if people have guns, they'll be using them on everybody, you know. And the only ones that will be using their guns on everybody are those rogue police officers that are going to go out there and do the duty of the unconstitutional force that's going to maintain us, that's going to basically the enemy within. So look, we know what they're doing. The main thing is that everybody takes the steps to protect themselves from that. Even vitamin C, buy it in bulk. It's the easy, it gets rid of everything. You do massive doses of it. You can take care of, I'll bet you, with massive doses of vitamin C, you can stop MRSA in its tracks. It stops cancer in its tracks. Linus Pauling did it. And I mean, with cancer, you have to take over 100,000 milligrams a day. And what happens is it stops the cancer. But it doesn't cure it. It just holds it right where it is. And if you get below that, it starts to come back. They don't know why. They just know that vitamin C is an important part of our immune system. So you can take care of a lot of things with it, but you got to have it in crystalline form. You're not going to swallow 100,000 milligrams a day in pills because your tonsils are going to get sore. You have to drink it. You have to put it, you know, 4,000 milligrams per spoonful. And at that point, you'd be doing 20,000. And the only thing that will happen if you do too much is you'll get the runs. Three times in an hour, a watery explosive. And then you know you need to cut it down. What Linus Pauling says is, as soon as the symptoms go away, that's when you level your vitamin C off. That's saturation point. If you go above saturation point, then you're going to get the runs. So I just gave you a golden nugget, and we should move on now. I took a lot of time up, but I thought that was important. That's a very golden nugget. It's very easy, and you can buy that stuff, you know, by the kilo. What is it, 2.2 pounds is a kilo, and it's very reasonable. And I know the more organic stuff works better, but I've even used some of the what do you call it? The not natural, completely natural, you know, where they get it from ascorbic acid and stuff, and it still works. I mean, the more natural you get, the better, the arceola, that type of stuff, if you can get that stuff, that even more of it stays absorbed in the body. So anyway, I'll end now. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. All right, final word before we move on?
It wasn't even a final word. I have not gotten into what I intended to say. Those are all good points about what he was bringing up. But what I'm specifically saying is that doctors at two different facilities had exposed me and my girlfriend in such a manner as to create what's called plausible deniability. Mm-hmm. When I reported this to the FBI in November of 2010, they waited about 45 days before they came after me and my girlfriend of 14 years. They separated us. I have not seen my girlfriend or talked to her since. They took my house from me. They took me off of my needed pain medications at about 100 milligrams of morphine a day and 100 milligrams of oxycodone per day. They forced me into going to the emergency rooms where I started to be drugged by a doctor at the emergency room who had exposed me to MRSA. I then went home with my brother. I went back the next night by ambulance, and I was met with what appeared to be an FBI agent in the back of the ambulance who grabbed a needle out of his back pocket, and he drugged me with something. I got up to the emergency room, and they had drugged me again with an IV that was in my arm, and I ripped it out of my arm, and I told them to quit drugging me. I was allowed to leave the hospital again that night. I went home, and I no sooner got home, and my phone was ringing 911 without me even touching it. For the whole previous month, ever since they separated me and my girlfriend, my phone was ringing 911 like they were taunting me. Within a few hours of being home, I had the police come back out to my house. They took me up to the hospital. I didn't have any ability to resist them like they had shot me up with something along
the
lines.
I appreciate what you're saying, but, you know, I have no response to any of this, and I don't know that we can, you know, look, we do know they're doing evil things. I'm concerned myself. But whenever I come to realizing and become concerned about it, I just give it up to the Lord and let him deal with it. He's got to be my protector because I can't protect myself against these people. They know that. And none of us really can independently. And that's
what
why,
I did,
you know, united we stand and divided we fall. That's why we are going to be successful because we are many thousands of people strong at this moment. In our membership alone, we're many thousands strong, and we're coming in numbers, and they don't know who to go after, and they shouldn't. And we got so many people active. We got lots of people writing. We have lots of people doing all kinds of different things, they have no idea who to go after. They don't know what to do. We are the people. That's why only the people can save America, because we're coming in numbers. We're coming in a multitude. That's why if you get a small group here or there, one of the reasons why it took us so long to really start to become active is because we had to create a national membership. And it took us 2 years to create the national membership that we have today. And we have a pretty good membership. It's a pretty strong membership in every single state of the union. And we're established in every county. So we need to come in from that perspective. And again, you know, what you're dealing with, I have no idea on what words I can give you. I don't know. I can only tell you got to trust in God, leave it to him, and do whatever you think you can do logically to try to protect yourself.
That's kind of why I was talking to you, John. I've contacted over 50 different ministers and clergy members here in northern Wisconsin. I've contacted probably that many news agencies from CNN to Fox News to all the local area people. I have contacted Amnesty International, the ACLU. I've even contacted Amnesty International in Canada. I've contacted anybody that you could possibly think of.
And what did
here
it do?
In 2015, over 5 years later, I'm still fighting the charges that I was brought up on, because after they drugged me the third time, they brought me back to the police station where they proceeded to suffocate me. They were torturing me with handcuffs that were seen sinking into my wrist and into my legs, and then they charged me with assaulting the police officers. Over the next 3-4 years, I fought these charges.
But what do you suggest that you might be able to do, or what do you suggest that we might be able to do? I mean,
last night I finished the civics course. I've been into the habeas corpus studying. I'm in the process right now. As of today, I tried to get a hold of John. I missed his phone call when he called back. I'm also into courtroom observers, and I can be doing this. But I'm reaching a point right now where my appeal is due at the end of this month after I got a 30-day time extension. I am more than capable, even though I'm disabled from severe nerve pain, I'm more than capable of helping out and dedicating all of my time, because I am disabled, to writing writs for other people. But where I'm at right now is I need a habeas corpus, and I need people to understand that what's going on in our country, even with the military and Jade Helm, I believe it could have something to do with this MRSA pandemic that we're on the verge of. I've talked to
enough people. They got so many plans, and it's just one of many, many plans, and they're going to execute a lot. But I'll tell you what, I believe that they're on the run. I think they've been found out by too many people. I think even the players that the useful idiots that they're trying to execute to do different things, even those people are getting frightened. Because we're coming out there with papers. Look at governors were going along with Jade Helm. I think they're not going along with them anymore. Why? Because of what we've done with paperwork. Now, there are other people trying to put stress onto them and reveal what's going on. We revealed them in all 94 federal district courts. They can't hide from that. That's on the record. So there's a lot of stuff. You need to call up and talk with John and see if we can take your case on, get him all the necessary paperwork that he can get, and then we'll take it from there. I don't want to talk too much more about a personal case, it's time to move on for that. But do talk to John, and I'm sure we can figure something out for you, try to help you some way.
Yeah, if I can get that taken care of. I see right now they're preventing me from moving out of the state of Wisconsin. And because of the accusations I made against the doctors doing this intentionally, they're unwilling to prescribe me medication. And I'm within like a week and a half of running out of my medication. They've been forcing me to go to the emergency room over 5 different times now in the last couple months. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so just so people know that this whole MRSA thing and the repeat infections, if they're getting it, they need to make sure that the amount of antibiotics that they get are adequate enough to kill the bacteria, because if it doesn't kill the bacteria, it will come back stronger.
I hate to tell you this, but they don't really have an antibiotic for MRSA that really works. And if they do, it's something very new, and I would be afraid to take it, honestly.
I wonder how MMS would work.
There is no antibiotic for staph, and I had staph, and it ate half of my finger away. And I got it in the doctor's office.
Yes.
And they put me on this stuff called Keflex, and that don't cut it, buddy. That's
vancomycin is the only one that you have to get it in an IV so it reaches into the sequestered parts of your body.
I took and poked open vitamin E capsules and poured them into the open wound. And in the hospital, I had my wife sneak them into me. And the surgeon was like, I don't understand. My finger was big as a hot dog, a ballpark hot dog, because he had to slice it open, cut into the bone, and let it drain.
That's MRSA.
And no, it was staph. There was no such thing as MRSA. This is 30 years ago, buddy. And they told there is no antibiotic for it at that time, and the only thing that can handle it is your immune system. And that finger closed in like a week, and the surgeon could not believe it, that it did that. So I'm just telling you, there's other ways that they don't want you to know about, because they want you to be powerless against MRSA. And the medicine that they give you might actually make your immune system worse.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know what they're using against MRSA, but I would be highly suspect of it. Look, it may work. If I was going to take it, it would be on a very temporary basis, enough to get me on my feet maybe to continue my alternative treatment. I would have to be desperate to take it, though, believe me.
So, that collodial silver on a regular basis, if you're having infections.
That's right. Collodial silver is good. So anyway, we got to move on. We're way too long.
Well, thank you for your time.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your call. We'll be praying for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay, California Dave, you got the mic. How you doing? California Dave.
Put him to sleep.
Put him to sleep.
You better liven this up, John. It's your fault.
Waking up California Dave.
Ow! Okay, thank you.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, California Dave.
Go ahead,
Dave. You're really low, Dave. Okay. Turn your mic up or something.
All right. Is that better?
Let's go for it.
Okay. Have we decided which committee is going to be responsible for following up the sheriffs to help bring in the administrators?
No, I don't believe that. I haven't heard anything yet, but we're in a situation right now where we're making a lot of changes and trying to get some organizing done and getting software squared away, and then we're going to really start to get down into some really deep meetings for all these different categories that we're creating. But I'm not aware of any kind of... you know, there may be some groups of us meeting and brainstorming different things, but I haven't heard any of the results yet from those groups.
Okay, because people are giving me feedback that they're worried that the follow-up with the sheriffs is falling through the cracks after all that hard work you guys did.
Well, I think it has to some degree, but not really. Look, at the key to this whole thing right now is getting this fax system up that we're working on. And I know we have some engineers, as a matter of fact, computer engineers. Maybe they might want to give a call to Gary and help him out.
Listen,
anybody who's really savvy with that stuff.
Look, I want to say something. Number one is, besides the fact of getting in touch with the sheriffs, you know, when we're talking to them, we won't necessarily announce what's going on. The sheriff, and the one sheriff said, you show me the law and you get the people behind me and I'll do it. Well, that's a big point. We need to be in a position that when he does that there's enough people there that in his local community that will stand up. We're not going to send some guy out behind enemy lines, so to speak, with no support. So everything we're working on is to get to that point. And we are talking to them, and there are talks going on. But until we're ready to pull the trigger, we can't premature it. So, I mean, maybe you want to be in on a committee that talks to them and makes contact and knows. But that doesn't mean you can tell everybody what's going on, because these sheriffs need to be protected. We don't want to pull the trigger. We don't want to let necessarily even everybody know who they are at this point, unless they want us to. You know what I mean? I mean, but that would be very brave on their part. So this thing is being set up, and it's being done with everything in focus. Because I would love to be there. I'll fly there to get there with the sheriff, believe me, because it's that big and it's that important. But we're not going to go half-cocked off and do it until, we're like a general here sitting down looking how many troops we got over there, who can outflank them over there. Literally, well, not literally, but you know what I'm saying. We have to have our ducks in a row when we go in there. And we need people. And look, you seem to be hot on this too. So you're a good one to make sure that the calls get made and the connections get made when the time is. We want to keep we've already got the dialogue door open, so we're trying to keep it open. But we don't want to run it so far up that it looks like we're dragging our feet or we're not doing it or we don't have the support to do it. So look, it's still in the works, and we are working on it. And all this stuff that John is doing is very important, because if we don't have our fax stuff all figured out where we can get it in there and do it on a real timely basis and for the right amount of money, you see, because the minute we do it, don't you think that our writing stuff and our faxes are going to have to go through the roof? We're going to have to be on top of this thing. So we want to be ready so that everybody knows what's going on. Look, right now they might be throwing our papers in the round file, but somebody's bringing them out and they're standing around the water cooler with them. There's going to be a time when they're looking for them, and we want to make sure that they're getting them when they're looking for them, okay? And that's very shortly. It's right around the corner here, and it's going to be very important to get that stuff out almost real time, because that's how critical it's going to be when it happens. Because, look, it's going to march from that point across the nation. Think about this. This is no little thing. It's going to go from there. It's going to be like a mushroom cloud in a nuclear explosion, that little point, and then the mushroom. So, yes, they're going. And you look at maybe you could be more part of what's going on so you know. You know,
yeah, and I'd like to say that, you know, we are working on a lot of things to make things easier and to organize. We're creating different groups that will be automated. And, you see, once all that's set up, then we can start on some heavy-duty meetings. I know that I've got to get involved in a lot of these meetings, and I can't get involved in all of the meetings because there's that many things going on. But there are certain ones that are very, very important. For instance, the IRC, you know, that's the big one. That's the real response team or committee. That's probably one of our most important groups out there. And also there's a lot to learn by joining that group. But also with the sheriffs, you know, we have so many committees out there, with the welcoming committee. I mean, we just have a whole list of them. And we have a bunch of them we haven't even revealed yet. But, of course, this is going to have to be filled by people. People have to take up these positions, get brainstorming in some of these things, putting ideas together, and getting busy to perform some service that's really going to work to help we, the people, get into power, to inform people, to educate, to get the word out. I mean, we got the media committee, we got the courtroom observers group, we have the CPS committee, we have the FAQ committee, we've got the Jade Helm committee, we've got, and Jade Helm committee really hasn't gotten off the ground either, but we have put a lot of focus on Jade Helm in our paperwork, you know. We have the sheriff's candidate committee. And we, you know, so we got a lot of stuff going on, and we do need more people active. Look, we are an active group. Percentage-wise, there's not a Liberty group out there. First of all, there's no Liberty group out there that has grown as fast as we have grown. There's very few Liberty groups out there that is as large as we are. I don't know of any that can boast the fact that they absolutely have a good, solid membership in every single state. I don't think there's any Liberty groups that's going to really boast the percentage of active people we have versus, you know, when in comparison to the number of members we have. So we have a lot of things going on. You know, our meetings on Monday is usually 300-400 people just coming in through our venue here. But we have other, we have a radio station, we have a couple of different radio outlets that simulcast some of our stuff or rebroadcast it, and so we have people listening from other places. So we have a lot going on. We are probably one of the most active Liberty groups. There's no doubt about it. We are one of the most active Liberty groups out there, if not the most active. And, you know, I say we're not active enough. We need more. Everybody needs to get the call. The call is, now is the time to save America. Let's get connected. Go out, find a committee that you can put an hour or two or more a week into it, and let's do it. If you're retired, put as much time as you can. If you're an entrepreneur and can loosen yourself up from time, I mean, when I first started this, you know, some years back, it was only because I was in business for myself. I was able to work my hours so that I can put the time in to get done with things we had to get done. So anybody who could do that, we need time. And again, look, everybody can give us a couple hours a week. Everybody could do that. Join a committee. Get involved. Let's do the job. Let's save America. Tomorrow will certainly be too late.
Yeah, and it takes all of us. And don't forget, you know, we're a very open group, so it's very easy for the enemy to join us, and from time to time they do, and they try throwing little things at us and discrediting us. But look it, we don't have a locked organization here. Our door is open. So you can come in, but, you know, the minute you look like you're an enemy or you're doing something to subvert us, you're going to go out. And some people say, oh, we got to have a vote, we got to have this, we have that. Listen, no, we don't. I know what this thing looks like. I've been in this movement all of my life, practically. So, you know, when you come in and you've got open doors the way we do, and if you're an enemy amongst us, you better be real good, because we find you. And then when we do, we throw you out. And we
right,
don't.
And we free people to do a lot of things. So, you know, it's not going to take long before they start to do their subversion, and we see it right away. I mean, it may take a little time depending on where it's at, but, you know, if it's in a state group somewhere.
All the other people get it. Look, When you learn how common law and you know your principles and you know your basic fundamentals, that's what roots them out. Because they don't want to do that. They're not in here for that. And they're not going to facilitate that. And that's the first thing that they'll attack is what our core thing is. So they're very easy to spot because usually the members tell us about them, okay? It's that easy. So I'm just saying, you know, look, at this is a big operation, and with God's help, it's gonna work because it has to work. And the way it's going to work is that we have more good people than bad people. How's that? So we got to – it's a never-ending struggle day to day. We need people every day. We need more people every day because, they've been subverting us one at a time in groups through the school system for years. For years. And how are we fighting that back? Okay, thank God we have the mass media of the computer. Thank God we have this free conference call. These are gifts from God, I believe, because without this, forget about it. You certainly aren't going to use the newspapers. Fox News is not going to tell you. The country would be dead already if it wasn't for this. And God's the only one holding their hand back from taking this from us. So just remember that. And that's what we're doing. And everybody should come in, because the more people and that participate, this is the brush fire that will run through America. And that's what we're doing. Even though there's technical stuff and there's faxing and there's computering and there's fighting and there's bickering, it's like any big family. You know, I had 9 kids. That's my house every day. Okay. So anyway, I'll be quiet.
All right. You got a final word, Dave?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people like what we are telling them about how everything will go easier after we get into the courts. So a lot of people are just seeking assurance from the leadership that we're not losing the momentum of getting back into the courts as one of the first era spear point projects.
Well, right. Remember this. Every committee has a director. It's up to the director to spearhead and keep things moving. So if we have a director already for the sheriff's committee, then it's up to that director. They're going to be as active as the director is. But, you know, each committee, you know, we're going to be looking into and making sure things are going on. And eventually we'll get around to being able to see what's really happening and if maybe we need a new director or what's going on. Why isn't it moving along? But again, I'm not sure whether we have a director for the sheriff's committee at this point. We do. Okay.
Yes.
All right. We'll talk with them tomorrow then. But in any event, here's the key thing though. It's up to you. And when I'm not just saying you, Dave, I'm talking about every you that's listening. It's up to you to make this work. It's not up to me. I can't make it work, and you alone can't make it work. But we can make it work. Not you and not me, only we. And that's how we have to think and realize. We all have to do this. If something isn't being done and you're concerned about it and you think you may be able to, well, just step up and take control. Even if you say, well, I'm not really qualified, or you don't feel you're qualified, well, you can take control until someone else comes in that's more qualified, and you might find out that you may be more qualified than anyone else that does eventually come in. Look, sometimes we surprise ourselves, you know. I know I surprised myself. I'm surprised we've gotten this organization to where we're at and everything else. But I've always, you know, laid it back on God. This is his thing. It's not me. I'm just doing the right thing, and this is the right thing before me. Just like everybody, just do the right thing before you, and God will take care of the rest. He's going to make it work. And if he doesn't want it to happen, he'll send us someplace else to do something else. And that'll be that. So, but anyway, we're doing.
Okay, and I'll just end with this. It sounds like the Sheriff's Committee may have already taken on the project of following up and bringing in the administrators. If they haven't, I would propose that they do, and I'll see what I can do to help make that happen.
Why don't you join into the committee and push it along, see where it's at, and if you have to take the bull by the horn, let's do it.
Yeah, I think it's just an orphan project that needs a mother, so I think we'll give it over to the Sheriff's Committee, and they can bring it along.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
okay.
Dave.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Next caller, James from Georgia. You got the mic. James from Georgia. Hello, James. I heard something for a second there from James from Georgia. James Hello? From Georgia. Yep, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I didn't know I'd get through tonight. I was about to log off. Anyhow, I had a question. Now, since I can only possibly get into court and observe maybe once, twice a month at most, I was kind of wondering, is this something we need to be doing more of as unobserved, so as quietly as possible, so nobody knows we're there? Because...
Is this something what?
Should we be doing this? Should we be observing, but not being observed? I mean,
We want to let them know. Look, that particular group is starting to really come together. It's sharpening their point at this point. I mean, we had things going pretty good before, but we're taking a little bit more of a hardcore positioning with this. First of all, everybody should join that group. Now, you don't have to really get too much involved with them until you're called. And how often do you think you're going to get called into your county? It's going to be pretty rare. But if someone is in your county or in a county close by and they need help and you can go to that court case, you need to go. Take off time from work to go to that court case. First of all, it's going to be an education. Second of all, you're going to be helping someone that's been being unjustly convicted of something, okay? And third of all, you're going to make a difference, and you're going to start making this judge wonder what's going on. Now, we're working right now, today we were discussing it in detail. We're working on an ID card. And on that ID card, we have at least three different titles that will be on that ID card. One of the titles might be just courtroom observer, okay? Another title might be judicial, what was the second one? Judicial,
Oversight?
What was that second
Watch?
One? Yeah, an oversight committee. But what was the word? A judicial something or other?
I don't know.
Yeah, I forget. Anyway, and then the third one.
Judicial oversight.
Okay, judicial oversight committee. Another one, and a third one might be jury administrator. Okay. Now, we're going to make these cards very uniformed. We're going to have our icon on there. We're going to have our website on there. But we're working on right now the designing of it. You know, you'll have to upload a picture. You'll be able to purchase this right through our website. You'll upload a picture. We'll use the passport picture. Wherever you get a passport picture, you get one of those, and then you upload that onto the service, and then they'll put an ID together for you. It'll have a certain amount of information. It'll have your name and your phone number. We're not going to put people's addresses on there, though, and various other pieces of information. And it'll be a card, and it'll hang over the person's, you know, you put it over your neck, and it'll hang on. We have a dress code. We're setting up an attitude code, you know. We're going to be preparing letters that will be going to the judge to notify the judge before time that we're going to be in the courtroom and that we'll be bringing in cameras and recording equipment, so we notify him ahead of time. You see, all of this is intimidation, and we don't really mean it or want it to be intimidation on the one hand, but the other hand, damn well we do want it to be intimidating, because we want this guy to do the just thing and stop the nonsense with all this RICO stuff that they got going on. So we're going to intimidate
them to
do the just thing, and we're going to be coming in, and they're going to know. Now, our name precedes us. They already know. Rest assured, every judge has heard of National Liberty Alliance at this point, and they also have heard of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Juries with all the states listed out with addresses. They know we're here, and they should get a little upset and concerned when they know we're coming into the courtroom, because we're going to be doing things about it. We're going to be doing something about what's going on.
I have one concern about that, in that if they know exactly who we are, then that means they're going to know exactly the moment we leave the courtroom and they can go back to business as usual.
Well, look, they're going to be at business as usual no matter what. At least at the time we're in the courtroom, they're not going to be at business as usual. But you know what? There'll be other people that will observe this and they're going to say, I need to join this group, or they're going to report them. But you know what? We're going to get them. We're going to get them. Because every person that we're going in for them, we also have the option, if they want to do it, and they should, to do habeas corpus, get them out of that court. That's going to be another hit for this judge, that he's going to realize that we've got some power and some authority. We do a habeas corpus, trust me, on the state level and on the town levels and the village levels. They know they have no choice but to obey it. It's an order straight from the federal court. What are they going to do? Okay? So, look at... We just got to get in there, do the right thing, and come in force and let them know. And they should worry about maybe some stranger in the courtroom next time that they don't know who that person is. You know, who are you, Mister back there? Are you in one of these cases? No, I'm just observing. I'm just watching. You know, you don't give your name or nothing. You don't have to. So they don't know who's who and who's what. But look it, we're bringing justice back into the courthouse. We're going to do it. Or we'll die doing it. So,
All right. I just have one more question.
Yeah.
Any chance there is like a flow chart for basic traffic courts? You know, this is one issue where a lot of people get entrapped in a lot of things. And if we can have a flow chart, like on one side of a page and references on the back.
If people are going into traffic court, and they're facing potential jail, maybe because they're driving without a license or something of that nature, and they're facing potential jail, they need to come to us and get a habeas corpus. We'll get them a habeas corpus at it to get them out, okay? We don't want to do habeas corpuses for everybody with traffic tickets because, you know, we'd be flooded with that. And we have people that are in jail, people that are going to jail. That's where we have to spend our time. But as far as fighting the tickets, that's a whole different game. I say, look at, if you think you can fight it and beat it, fight it and beat it. When you realize you can't fight it, then pay it and get out of there. Get the information, put all your paperwork together for a later time, and you can go back later and sue when we have common law courts set back up. But again, you need to know how to defend yourself. You need to know how to do the paperwork. And we teach all that. Again, are you learning that? That's the question. We have all this stuff online. We have a book up there. Which we don't talk about too often, but it's court access. It teaches you how to write a court paper. It talks about all the different processes of the court, including a lot of the things they do with the motions and all this other stuff. They do a lot of motions that are unconstitutional, that they're not supposed to do. Judges don't really get the chance to make all these decisions.
And they do discoveries and all this other garbage.
Yeah, it's all illegal. It's all illegal. But so we've got a lot to learn, and we got to get educated. And you have to be able to defend yourself, and then and you also have to defend the weak, you know, those who need help.
You got to know their language, though, if you're going to go in. If you're going to defend yourself, if you don't know what they're talking about, you know, you're at a little bit of a disadvantage. If you understand what this stuff they're asking you for is, it's easier to come out against it using common law. That's all I'm saying. So if you have no knowledge of the things that they do and the language that they use, you're kind of at a disadvantage for defending it with common law. And I'm not saying you can't, but it makes it longer away around the road, around the block. You know. So if you understand that this is their procedure, but we're going to bypass this because in common law, I don't have to do that. You know what I mean? That's for them and their statutes. But anyway, that's basically what it's about.
All right, anything final? We're going to move on. Anything else?
I'm done.
All right, thanks for the call. We'll go to the next caller. You want to take it from here, Gerard? I'm going to take a break for a short.
Okay, I'm showing the
I'm
next
gonna
caller.
I'm going to let you push the button. I didn't push the button. You got to push the next
I didn't push anything.
Someone just did. Nobody should be pushing that button out there.
Somebody
that's how we're running into trouble.
Nope.
Now, Now it says Pennsylvania Mary. Is that what
you're saying?
And that's
who should have come up, so don't touch nothing. She should be up.
Okay, but she's still checked on my end, but I know she can hear me.
Mary, well, let's try...
No, she's not up because she's still got a question mark by her name.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm gonna unmute her, John.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can
hear you.
Okay.
It doesn't show.
You know what? I had. As soon as he said Pennsylvania, I unmuted, and I could hear you both talking. You weren't hearing me, so I guess if we mute ourselves, it takes two hits to unmute us for my microphone to come back on with you.
Yeah, it's a little squirrely, yeah.
Okay. Couple things. I don't know if that was Gerard or Gary that was talking about...
This is Gerard you're talking to now.
Okay. Were you the one that was talking earlier about nutrition and vitamin C?
Yes, I was.
Absolutely right on. And right. For anybody that's listening... They absolutely need to take a look at, just with natural foods, what contain natural probiotics. And everybody should be doing 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar in water at first thing in the morning. They need to boost their pH balance. Everybody does. At this point, if people aren't doing something to really protect your immune system, we're crazy. Because they're really doing bad stuff. MRSA is just one of the many. And there are targets. So there are different groups that are targeted. Excuse me. So absolutely, just do everything you can naturally to boost your immune system. That's your protection. And then, God forbid, anybody ends up coming down with anything, because a lot of the stuff they're dumping in those chemtrails are pretty evil. What they've got in foods, what they're doing is awful. It's really, really awful. So boost your immune system, everybody, and we just do it with our foods. Truly, my husband and I both, that we just do our foods and vitamins.
Look at another big thing is the electronics, which is the microwaves, your wireless in your house, all that stuff. You know, everybody's got smartphones. They're always on these dang things all the time. They put radiation in your brain when you hold them next to your head. So that's all a stress on your immune system. And if you can quarantine those things to certain areas and certain times, you'll be healthier. Like if you don't need your Wi-Fi at night, shut it off. You don't need it pulsing in your brain all night, because with the technology they have, who God only knows what they're putting in there with that. And I mean, I know that sounds really paranoid, but now that I know what they can do, guess what? You better be paranoid.
That's because, right.
Because there's all this pollution around us, and it's on every level, and electronic and biometric and all that is all on the table now. So if you don't understand that.
There are so many whistleblowers, too. Pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. And even if you've got to search to find if there's any whistleblowers today, they're coming out of the woodwork.
Well, the more they see us, you'll get more whistleblowers, because they'll come out of the woodwork, because they won't make them seem like they're crazy. You see, When you blow the whistle and you tell all that stuff, like that one fellow that was on here, and he's a target, I would suspect he's a target.
Absolutely.
Right? By what he suspects, I mean, he's thinking these things for a reason. Now, they could say he's paranoid, and I guess if he wasn't a target, he might be paranoid. But I don't know. It seems like too many things, and, you know, why are they going after him? They're filing charges on him and all this stuff. Anyway, I don't want to get into that, but fact of the matter is, you know, they probably can have targets, you know, so just be aware of that. That's all.
Oh, absolutely. And they vocalize it. That's the one thing. Everything is up front, even though it's all in the background. Everything is diversion, distraction. Whatever's going on, take a look and see what's really going on. That's what they want to distract us
with. They've already admitted to all this stuff. You know, we're not a bunch of paranoid schizophrenics here. You read their paperwork, and they tell you what they're going to do to you. They
That's
tell
correct.
You what they're studying on. They tell you what they're getting grants for. And then now we know that these technologies have come into fruition. And we can prove it by their own words because they put it out there. It's almost like they have a need to tell you. Or maybe that's one of the pacts they have with God that they have
not
to
with
say.
God. It
doing.
Isn't with God. That's the pact they have with Lucifer.
Yeah,
they
well,
have to
why.
Disclose, and they've been disclosing through movies. They've been disclosing through entertainment.
Yeah. But that's only because God leads him around like a bull by the nose. That's why.
Well, I think God's kind of had a belly full, like the rest of us, without a doubt. He's got a divine plan, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
But anyway.
Okay, the gentleman that was talking about had issues and that he's got medication issues.
Yeah.
Please feel free to, if you have the ability, to give him my number and tell him to give me a call.
Okay.
I'm certainly not a doctor or a diagnostician or anything. I was on a cane for 9.5 years,
mm-hmm.
and all they wanted to do was drug me, and I wasn't willing to. The only thing that was working was my brain.
Right.
So I wasn't willing to fog it. So I really did go the natural route with food.
Right, so you
and
know
herbs.
These things, and you're familiar with them, and you could speak to him on a
I'm off of the cane. I've got my health back, knock wood. Not only that, they ended up after I had my back decompressed after 9.5 years. They found that the way I had knocked my pelvis crooked when I fell, I wore my cartilage out in my hip and was walking bone on bone. So I ended up getting a total hip. And I'm going to tell you honestly, I had a 2-week recovery, no physical therapy. I have full range of motion. And that was because my body was really ready for it. I mean, even the skin healed, that they needed to take the staples out. They
Look, if you're going to get a hip, if you're going to get a hip replacement, you better want to be in top health, because they drill into your bones and they put a stake in there, and your bone is expected to grow back around it to make it strong. Well, only a healthy body and a healthy bone and marrow system will do that. So you get people that go in for these hip replacements, and they have a horrible time. And they give all these bad reports of them because they just their body was not ready to accept that thing. So it made problems. It wobbled. It did this, caused inflammation at that point. So you see, if you're sick and you get a hip replacement, you're going to get sicker.
But well, and pain is caused. Pain is caused by inflammation.
That's
so
right.
there really are natural foods that are anti-inflammatories.
Right.
And, I mean, my husband's had open heart surgery. He was given a death sentence. I made the doctors follow everything that we did. And they completely took my husband off of all medication. It was like I was giving him things to protect him. And fortunately, I found one cardiologist that was a DO that was into the integral medicine. And so he was a champion in getting the other three to seriously look
at this. And he was a DO, huh? That's interesting. Okay.
Cardiologist, correct. DO.
Right.
Correct. He went to Philadelphia Osteopathic Hospital. Okay. So that being said, I may be able to just help him through the next few weeks that he's going to have. In addition to, I know that the medications that he's on also cause pain. They cause inflammation. It's only masking. It isn't doing anything to decrease the inflammation.
And a lot of them make you constipated, so now you're not eliminating and things just tend to get worse. It's a vicious cycle.
Well, that's correct. And this is deliberate, and this was all planned out. So I've had a few people here.
All right, so I'll see if I could get him.
Definitely. I have a traditional medical background. I don't tell that. Because I've been 28 years into alternatives. Okay. Now, all of that being said, I believe that I'm going to take off on something that you said and that we really need to build the membership, if you will. We need to reach Americans. And I spoke with Sheila. I'm not sure if she's on the call. But it's time to do a Twitter campaign. And that's going to take everyone across the country. We need to get people from every state, and we'll plan a specific day and time. And we'll need to use a specific hashtag. We want to brand ourselves, but if I understand John's position, we don't want to do this as the National Liberty Alliance. Maybe a hashtag, something like the letter U, uppercase
well,
U.
What do you mean we don't want to come out? We want to get the word out any way we can.
Yes. Here, do you know what a hashtag is for?
Yeah, a hashtag like only the people.
Correct.
I know.
So that's where the hashtag, in the Twitter, we would direct to National Liberty Alliance.
Okay. Well, that's
okay.
Right. That's
okay.
Right.
The hashtag, right. Though, clear across the country, should be something like uppercase U, lowercase N, uppercase M, and lowercase E. For you and me,
mm-hmm.
comma, we are America. Either all uppercase or uppercase W, A, and A, and the rest lowercase.
Mm-hmm.
I think the uppercase is bolder, but to leave the N and the E lowercase.
Hey, Mary.
And possibly reverse it, and that Sheila is going to have to finish giving the okay
right,
on
so
that.
Right, so we'll have to discuss this. We should have
well,
a meeting.
Look, we're trying to get, there's so many things going on in media. And,
okay,
we talked with Sheila about this, and hopefully we're going to start restructuring because, you know, she's the director over there, but this should be broken down into all of these committees. There should be a Twitter committee, and then that committee should be off on its own planning things. Of course, everyone can participate, even if they're from another committee, but the thing is that you got to get the work done, get plans, and go do it. We don't want to wait on Sheila to get involved with each one of these things. But she should be directing them and moving them along.
That's correct. That's what I said. I've spoken
so
with Sheila.
So just jump in there.
And
if
so
you
perhaps,
want to take leadership on that committee, do it and let's get going. Because we need to get
like
out.
Hey, John.
Mary, can I connect with you tomorrow, Mary?
That would be fine.
Look,
be great.
A Twitter thing, the first Twitter we put out is very significant. And we need to make sure that we all agree on it. Or that
well,
we
that's agree. Correct. But we can also do several different
yeah,
Twitters right. with the same hashtag, maybe just something like Americans, where are you?
Right.
NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know what to do? NationalLibertyAlliance.org.
Right.
Yeah,
law
we need a plan, Mary.
And
that
so
good.
Just, you don't want to do too many. You just want to do like a half a dozen.
Right.
And
right.
we want to do this, and I'm just going to use this as a hypothetical, Thursday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern time, which would have people clear across the country go down to 6 p.m. and just do 10 Twitters each. Have
and you
it
know what?
Already have
Whatever
it already planned, because then they have people who follow them, such as Sheila has 30,000.
Look,
have a couple hundred.
When there's something big in the news, we can tailor them to sort of catch that and comment on it, kind of like, you know what I mean? Because that's
correct. This will bring this
right.
will absolutely bring the spotlight to the National Liberty Alliance.
Right. So something happens.
So that's why you want to tag. You want the hashtag
National Liberty Alliance, and we could give our opinion on that thing, like that decision they made. We should have Twittered the heck out of that with this any big Supreme Court decision like that. You know, so when we put out there, people will know that that's our position, and that's
what's,
our thought.
What was that in reference to? Planned Parenthood or the gay marriage?
Yeah, Planned Parenthood or whatever. All these crazy things they're passing.
Well, there's something. You know what? They know their days are numbered. There's something that was captured. I believe that these people went undercover and got 5 hours of film. They got absolute footage in discussing. They went in and posed as bio something purchasers.
Yeah,
of,
it was all over.
Oh no, this was just today. This is another one. It's 5 hours of footage, and what
another
they
one.
Got them. What has gone on? I'm not even going to get into it because it's despicable. It's worse than what we already know. Just let me tell you that.
The devil's always worse than you thought he was.
It is the evilness, and they're nailed dead to right. I mean, they are nailed. So I don't know where that's going to go, what's going to happen with that. That was just a breaking thing. Probably about 8:30 tonight I got it.
Well, I think they get worse as time goes on when they know the end. You know what I mean? They're always going to increase what they're doing to the more. But anyway, anything else on that?
Just that we need to absolutely get a Twitter. It'll take 5 minutes of people's time.
Mm-hmm.
But in blasting it out at the same time and everybody using the same hashtag,
right.
It's like going to put the National Liberty Alliance in neon lights.
Right.
It is going to wake up people who are going to see this get blasted out, and it is because of, again, people who have people following them.
Right.
And people are going to see it. They'll send it out to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this really does a ripple effect. So you want to have a very bold hashtag, and we want everybody to know that this is all of us. You know, it's time. It's time you all come and join the National Liberty Alliance. You know, we all are America. That's the bottom line. And if we don't do it now, we're in trouble. And
I
don't know how else to reach it. This truly is going to take the National Liberty Alliance membership effort for 5 minutes, 10 minutes of their time. As many people can, so we'll have to be a specific time.
I think it has a big bang for the buck. It really does.
Oh, it does, and there's nothing to do in it.
Look, now is the time for us to get our word out, because if it's not now, when is it? It's never.
Well, correct, and I think we only get to use, like, 142 letters or something.
Right.
So that's where, you know, some pre-planning and just having a half dozen go out that are really going to make a bold statement. It's like, okay, people, time for the grand jury.
People writing them things. Let's go.
Well, I've toyed with a few of them, so, and as I said, I spoke with Sheila about it.
All right.
And so, knowing that this is the national call, I hope you don't mind that I took advantage of being able to reach the number on here.
We probably got talent out there too that can really be a good help. Some, you know, to that, to me, that's like tweeting is like rapping. Now my wife is home for the first time in 4 days, and the dogs are going to go crazy. So I'm just thank you.
and I know people just keep saying, "Well, what can I do? What am I supposed to do? You know, what do we do?"
Well,
and
I only have one thing to do other than put my head in the sand, so I'm doing it.
Well, that's exactly right. And that, you know what, there was one more thing. Senior moment, and it's important.
Well, we got to hurry up. We got people tapping their fingers.
I know we do. I know we do.
We've been a little long here. All right.
Well, we'll be talking tomorrow. So.
Yeah, we're gonna go over this tomorrow. And thank you for your input there, and we'll definitely implement that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry, guys.
That's fine. You did good.
Senior moment here.
Yeah. I guess that's my excuse too. I'm sorry. I just clicked over into. I don't know. Unknown. That's good because I don't know. 5928. Unknown. You're unmuted. Okay. Is car 54 out there? 5928? In the 731 area code? Going once? Going twice? Okay. The next one says California, Ronald. You're up. Ronald, Pitts, Ronald. We made it.
Gerard, can you hear me?
Yes, got you. Go ahead.
Okay. Very interesting. That's good timing because, all right, I'm going to try to make this something I really want to share with you and John and everybody, actually, or at least I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
That it's already been heard, but on our Wednesday night District 13 call, I'll start with that. Actually, let me start with the lady that was just on about the campaign for Twitter, because there's an interesting thing that's out right along the lines of this person. It's called, and I'll read the title, big pharma rep spills the beans on vaccine. All about profits. Brandy, V-A-U-G-H-A-N, Brandy, former sales rep for Merck and Company, details how vaccine companies are using vaccines as a vehicle for massive profits and not public health. Brandy decided to become an activist when the demons in our state and federal government began pushing through mandatory vaccine laws. Brandy, and I'm reading this obviously, Brandy says, giving children vaccines is like playing Russian roulette with our children. Furthermore, mandatory vaccination is simply a way for vaccine makers to make huge profits for children. So then it goes on and says, please, put this post to all social networks. I mean, how that would be great, Twitter campaign. I don't know, maybe it'd be better for Facebook. But the person thinks she's a great speaker. There's a YouTube on it. She has experience with Merck and how they covered up the harm they did with the drug Vioxx. And it says email friends and people of this thing, and there's more to it. But that's totally contextual on the conversation that was just happening. So I think there is incredible stuff to be used for that. I did not have any idea to speak to this, but I thought while the conversation was going on, if I could find this, I'd bring it to your attention. Okay, second point. Back to District 13, 2 weeks ago, and I'm asking hypothetically, actually, if you're already aware of this, but I'll tell you what this is. Now, it's hearsay, but I was there to hear this, and Dave knows about this too, California Dave. There's a fellow in Nevada, and what he was saying, first of all, I'll outline it. He talked about a traffic violation that he should have gotten. Now, it's hearsay on his point, but that a friend of his went to two meetings with a sheriff. And so he prepped it with this. So he really messed up. He seriously should have been getting ticketed because he crossed over and this highway patrol person stopped him. And as he was giving him his ID, there was a National Liberty Alliance card that went on the dashboard, and the guy's keying on this. He's just staring at it. And then he takes his ID and goes back to his cruiser. Only 5 or 6 minutes, he's checking him out. He comes back and he says, I'm going to give you just a warning. He told him what he did wrong. He says, don't do it again. Okay, he said that's a setup. That's kind of a baseline here. Because then he says, my friend that has been in two separate discrete meetings with sheriff, what the sheriffs were telling their deputies, and this goes to the awareness factor of National Liberty Alliance. He's saying if you don't have to bring these, if you find that come across these people that are related with that, or you find out that they are, avoid making it a court case if you can. That is huge. So that just supports from another data point the effectiveness that is going on. I just wanted to share that. I was hoping that the individual person that already contacted you and John maybe told you the story firsthand. But I was there firsthand to hear this thing, and that was kind of interesting. Also that evening, going on to the governors of states, there was an individual, and interestingly enough, this fellow in Nevada was talking with a friend in Texas who was doing like one of these mail delivery things, who went out to this abandoned airport, military airport base, and saw all these Chinooks out there and these cages that had shackles. Okay. He was thinking of it as being bad news, but really it was not good or bad. It was just he observed it. And the point that was being made then was, well, it's neither good or bad. It's what's being done with it. And the thing that can be done, tell your friend, because what Governor Abbott in Texas is doing, has done, from the start of Jade Helm, has gotten a whole bunch of people. He's actually, I believe it's the, what do you call it? I think the state militias were also queried about that requested to be observers, but also the National Guard, the State Guard, to actually observe Jade Helm. So he's a governor that's active in trying to be making sure in his state to see what's going on. That is a good act of governor. Of course, peace plays politics, and there's other things that would be said about it. The point being back to this individual is he witnessed something, he could become part of that solution, and that was an interesting thing. So this is all out of 2 weeks ago, just one call on Wednesday night for California, Nevada, Arizona, and Hawaii in like District 13. very interesting stuff, and it supports everything that's being said on Monday night calls oftentimes. I mean, I hear John say, I mean, I don't know entirely how much intel he has, but this is supporting when he's saying he has a sense of it, that, you know, that they're, because the writs that are going out, that they know what's going on. This has definitely spoke to that, absolutely. Certainly with the sheriffs, they definitely know what's going on, to the point of their saying, don't mess with these guys. It's not worth it, I guess. Now that's an opinion, but I'm sure you get the point.
Well, like you said, it could be good or it could be bad. But either way, it's working. It doesn't matter. We don't care.
That's the point. I think that's a very interesting point. There's something being it's an actual person that had something to say about there is something going on, and they're aware.
Well, first,
so I thought that was,
we expect that, and we
now
expect,
you've had it confirmed.
We expect more of that.
Absolutely.
So look at, they got to be watching out because we're watching. The people are here. The people are awake. So, you know, it's not going to be, look at, the sheriff's going to be the first guy who's put in the microscope because that's who we're depending on. So whether he knows it or not, he's the next target in as far as whether or not he's constitutional, because we need him. And if he's not, we need to get rid of him. And only the people can put somebody in there that runs under common law. No injured party, no crime. Could you imagine that? Oh, my goodness. You know, they get 10 or 50 sheriffs running under that. That would be a wildfire, you know?
Exactly. And back to what California Dave was talking about, there are obviously a few sheriffs that are sort of, his concern is that it may be cooling off a little bit. But the point that at the very least it's being brought is that there are some sheriffs, like the one in California who told the BLM, said, you're not making any more arrests, what's going on in Utah. And there's an interesting thing. Something's heating up in Utah because there's people. I'm in Orange County, but there's people in California. I'm sorry, in LA, who aren't and can't be because of their business concerns and life situation, but are getting calls for help from Utah. And this is like today, a lot of things, and they can't deal with it. But I found that out. I thought that was very interesting. Okay, one last thing. I just wanted to say, and I'll quit. I'll try to not take up any more time, but. The habeas corpus class 101 on Saturday was just freaking awesome. And now that I've been what I've been waiting for was the templates. And so the habeas corpus, I'm looking at it right now from the state courts, the ones from the federal courts, the federal court addresses, the lists, XLS files, the instructions, and then the habeas corpus example ones of Hahnemann default. John, that's not hard to do. If you just fill in the blanks, and do that, you know, and you can have somebody check it, and I think it's so doable. Why aren't more of us doing it? Oh, well, that's just a rhetorical question. I think it's great. It's finally happened. That's awesome. I just wanted to say that. It's what I've been waiting for. So I wanted to just, the kudos to that, and that's pretty much all I have to say. Are we still there?
Yeah, I don't know whether Gerard fell off or not, but I was listening in. Gerard, you here? He must have fallen off. Okay,
one quick question regarding this. In the introduction in June, we all put our
names
and stuff.
Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Gerard, you're coming in like a chipmunk. Reboot your Skype. Reboot your Skype, Gerard. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just thinking, about 300 of us, I know there was from the initial first recording that you have on the top here, not the one from Saturday, that it talks about, you know, where everybody put in their initial information. And, of course, there's been some change in people doing things. You know, Greg isn't there anymore, and as I understand it. But the information, I know that Gary mentioned some subsequently, I think the week after, that there was tremendous response, and that was a good thing. And, of course, things got really, well, whatever things went and did till last Saturday, I'm assuming, or I'm asking, I guess, that information still exists and is available. And so that seems to me to be a reservoir to dip from, to be able to contact people to write these in this learning state, habeas corpus. Obviously,
right. Well, we have four or five? No, five. We have five instructors, people who are being training to be instructors. And they should be on their own pretty much in a week or two, doing their own. In other words, they will be instructing people and checking their work. And for a while, of course, on a national level here, we're going to be checking those five people every time they do a paper. We will get it. We will go through it, make sure it's done correctly, you know, dot the I's, cross the T's, that kind of thing. And then we'll be doing the seals and actually mailing it out and making contact with the next friend and just working all the details out.
Right.
But shortly, I would say in 2 or 3 weeks, I think all of these people will probably be very close, if not already on their own, and they will be doing it. Now, we're only going to have one person. Well, we have two people with the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury Seal, only two, plus one in New York. So we have a seal in New York. There's someone down in Florida that has one that is going to be sending out papers. And then there'll be another person who will be doing the habeas corpuses. We're only going to have – we'll have them the work perfected, sent over, finalized to the person who will take the seal to send it out, and they will do a final check to make sure, you know, T's are crossed, I's are dotted, and then they will be sending it out from there. And as we start to accumulate more and more, then we'll get maybe another person with a seal and train them and so on and so forth. Each one of these people are going to be training and, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 people. And they'll be looking for, you know, really ultimately we want everyone to become an instructor to get into that level where they will be on their own sending the papers and teaching others. We have to multiply this across the nation.
Well, absolutely. That's how you get your on-the-job training to the people start writing. They write from
a helping
situation.
Some people, we've had a lot of people who have bucked us on a lot of different things over the past, and this is, you know, this is one of the things we were talking about. We can't just go out and, you know, half-cocked and do something without having the knowledge and knowing how and what to do and how to even behave. I mean, people have to learn it all, and that's what the instruction is all about. And until the student is ready to go out and graduate and actually get out into the real world, they got to be under the wing of an instructor. So they got to yield to people. We do have some people who have a problem with yielding to people. Not so much now, but in the past, we had a lot of hardheads, people who want us to move quickly. Let's do this now. Write a paper for that. Let's go here. Let's do this. And
yeah,
we're not ready for it. We wasn't ready for it.
I know. I've been there. I've been here the whole time. So my point back to this is I get that. And it's, you know, it's, I need to be, my hurry up is, I've heard that, but I got to let you talk about this because it's for the recording, and everybody that ever listens is recording into that. So my question is that you're already filled up with those initial instructors. I take it as what you said, and then they're getting up to speed. And then
instructors will be creating more instructors and more instructors. Look, we all got to become.
Do they take on like? Do they take on help? Each one of them takes on a few people, and it starts to expand.
Well,
each
instructor takes on one case, okay? And
one
they
case,
should be able
not
yeah.
other people to help and to help
well,
become.
Well,
instructor.
This is how it works. They'll take on one case, okay? They will do their case. And the way we set it up, you can literally easily do it. You can get one a day easily, and in 2 hours, an hour, you can get, let's say 2 or 3 hours, you can get the entire case done, ready to go, ready for mailing. But that one person will take on a case. That case will then be checked by someone, you know, who's instructing them. And once that's all done and correctly and they get a mark, now they're going out and they're taking that very same case that they've done, and they're given all of the raw material to maybe 10 people or whoever they're instructing. They will then go and do the papers as if they were doing them from scratch, and they will be doing it from scratch as if they were going to do it for real. And then when they hand it in, then their paper, the instructor would have already done this and had all their paperwork corrected. Now they'll be able to use that, and they will be able to go on. And that's how we're going to teach. Now, as we see people, we will mark people, not necessarily give them report cards or anything, but in our own way, we'll be seeing how they're doing. When we see people constantly acing things, that means they're picking this stuff real quick. They got it, and it's time to move them into an instructor level, and so on. And this is how we got to grow across the nation. We have to get instructors in every single state.
Well, ultimately, you're a student, and you get experience, and you can instruct. And then when you start instructing, meaning you have a grasp of it, you really learn, and
Correct.
You're actually expanding geometrically the process, which is what I'm hearing you describe. So
Correct.
I'm asking the initial five or so that you're talking about, you're getting them up to speed, and then they're going to be taking on a certain amount of people to do the from scratch that they've already done type of thing. Is that what I'm hearing? That's what I'm trying to clarify.
Well, if we got five instructors, and let's say we have 100 people coming in, well, they have to be divided between five instructors.
Right. So those are the people in training, right? That's what we're talking about?
Those are the people in training, right.
So
We will find people popping out of there real quick because, look, some of this stuff people can pick up.
I just want to get in training, John.
And some people take it a little slow. Well, get in right
how?
Now.
How? I don't know how.
Oh, give a call to Don Boxley, and join the group. And
who is Don Boxley? I'm looking at the committees.
Well, go to he's the director for the IRC committee.
All right, thank you, the IRC.
Okay,
well, you know what? I tried getting hold of John Rowe, and he has a.
No, he's in an intake. He does something different. He does the intake. Now, but what's going to happen very soon? And hopefully in a week, we're working on this. It depends on how fast we can put it together, but hopefully in a week, we're going to have the new group up where people will go and click the join button, and they join the group. Then they'll be contacted. We'll have a regular setup for that particular group and be a lot more organized, like a school almost, and on the one hand. Now, when you go to join the group, if you aren't already enrolled in the civics course, you'll get a message telling you that a prerequisite is to enroll in the civics course and to be an administrator. You have to check the box off to be an administrator. So those are you have to be checked into that to get into the group, okay,
Absolutely.
For learning to write these things.
Yeah. Well, I was part of the beta testing, and I was like the third person in California, ninth in the state to finish that thing. So I'm good to go as far as that is. I'd love to have that. I'm really waiting for that constitutional course, too. Of course, I understand one thing at a time. So this is the next step in front of everybody.
Yeah, there'll be a constitutional course coming out. We haven't had time to create it yet, but I think it's something that we will be able to create very quickly and get it up there. As soon as we can allot the time to take a few days and focus in on just the course, you know.
Well, looks
and
like
that constitution course is very important.
That's an awesome idea. I've gone through it little by little. I was reading my pocket one today and checking it against some other things and listening to the original thing in June that you were saying and trying to follow the different ones and read it. And you know, you were outlining things. Anyway, very interesting. I was just... Okay,
and
so
we also,
you've got...
What people should really get a hold of also, a very, very important book. I just bought one online, and I don't know why I waited so long to buy one. I should have bought one a long time ago. But American Jurisprudence. Second edition. Bought one, cost me $45. I Googled, American Jurisprudence, and I did find one pretty quick. There were two available. In a time period, though, that I was actually ordering it, my wife wanted a few things, and, we actually got it through eBay or something. It wasn't eBay. It was the other one.
I think I know what you're talking about. They had limited amounts available. I tried
right,
that
well,
once.
They had two available. Okay. By the time we got around, by the end of the day, because we waited all day before we got it and went to go to the order, there was only one left, and I got the last one from
awesome.
that seller anyway. But there's others out there. But everyone should look to get that. The other thing we're looking to do, and I think Gary says he might be able to find it, but anybody else that might be able to find this, by all means, get it to me. We're looking for a PDF copy of American Jurisprudence, preferably one that we can cut and paste out of. I mean, look, if we can't cut and paste out of it, we'll use it until we get one.
Well, it's a PDF. You can't cut and paste out of a PDF unless you have particular software that allows you to.
When they create the PDF, they can make it password protected so that no one can even cut and paste unless they got the password. And so if it's password protected, then, yeah, we can't. But, why password protect something like that to give it away for free anyway? I mean, the purpose of it is to be able to cut and paste and use it in court. And that's what it's all about. So anyway, we got to find a PDF copy of American jurisprudence. Because remember, all judges must obey that. We should walk into a court with a copy of that, the Constitution, a copy of American jurisprudence. And Your Honor, you know, where is it in this book that you have the authority to do and say what you're doing? Look, it says the contrary here, you know? And that's, you know, that'll be very helpful, at least now, too, in the courts.
You know, that's another interesting thing. Walking into the courts, maybe as a courtroom observer, you might have a little more lenience because you've got some things. But, like, I'm tasked with jury summons here in September or October. And last time I did that, the judge was saying, you know, you can't even have a book with you. You can't have da-da-da-da-da. And this was before I knew about, you know, what would you and me and everybody save them.
Yeah, I can't tolerate those people. I would, you know. I don't know.
Me either. Me either. I can't tolerate it. That's another story. We're going to get over that. We're going to get through that. There's already inroads being made, and I believe that in my heart and soul. So anyway, I just wanted to share these things with you. I'm glad to know. I didn't realize what you just told me about the accessibility coming up with the new things that are going on. I see some changes already in the site. I know that it was offline the other day, probably due to construction. And things are moving forward, and Gary's got his hands full with stuff not behaving and the like. But I think we were a bit of hacked tonight. Something with the denial of service thing. You know, that was, I don't know why the bandwidth should be so.
Well, that could be, you know, what happens is sometimes you get too many people hit the site at the same at one time, and it trips up the site. It happens.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of times where they had to broaden the broadband for us, you know, and, you know.
Well, it's a sign of growth.
Or server. I don't know how all that stuff works, but, not, you know, we're starting to, it's starting to cost for broadband. It's starting to cost, things are becoming more and more expensive for us because we're getting bigger and bigger. And again, let me take this opportunity at this moment to say, if you want us to continue, we need $5 or more from everybody. Everybody should be contributing. What is $5 a month? I mean, goodness, it's you pay more than that in taxes for coffee and donut, you know, or coffee and roll that you may buy every day across the month. You pay far more than $5 a month on your taxes on that. So give us $5 a month or $10 if you can afford it. But whatever, at least $5 a month. Everybody should do it. So that's the only way we're going to survive. We need money, and we got to pay the bills. And and they're getting big now. We're starting to get squeezed again because the bills are growing. So.
Well, there's sure a lot of astonishing, amazing things coming up on the horizon. I was a little flustered by all the committees, but I think there's some definite progress and directions that. It just amazes me. I was really glad for this class, and I was really appreciative to hear what you just found.
Yeah, and anybody can take this class. It's up there, you know, just do the necessary things to get to the page and open up the page and listen to the audios and all of the paper. Everything is there. That whole page is an education.
That's right. Go to the Juris tab, and it's the writ training down there on the bottom right-hand side, and you can get those things, and it's there. And thank you, John, and I'll yield.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, bye.
Okay, we'll go to the next caller in a minute. Gerard, are you back yet? Hello, Gerard. I hear some Skyping going on. Let me see if that's Gerard having some technical problems or something, maybe. Ron Lanoux. Let me see if I can add him through here to see where he's at. But okay, meanwhile, I'll go to the next caller. Next question. No name, 845 number, so you're up here in New York, 701.
Hello?
A caller with no name. Hello, we got you. We hear you.
Hey.
Gerard, what happened to you? Hold on a minute, caller.
My name is Dan.
Hold on a minute, Dan. Gerard, you there?
Yeah.
Are you trying to get back on?
I was trying. I think I was on Pluto for 30 years.
Oh. Okay. I'm going to try to go in, and if not, call here, and I'll pull you in here.
Okay. I thought I was on. I answered this. That was okay. I've been calling.
Yes. Try to get in.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Dan.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Good, good. Yourself?
All right. So I called in about 2 weeks ago, and we spoke. I'm a guy from dysfunctional Sullivan County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've heard you mention to, like, use the term get into the courts, setting up to set up the common law juries. What has to be done, or what can be done here? What can I do here on a local
join the
level?
Committees. Join the committees. It's a program. It's a collective program of all the people across the United States working together, making a difference, getting the papers into the courts, making them to fear the people. You know, when the people fear the government, we have tyranny. When the government fears the people, we have liberty. So let's get liberty back. And the plan, of course, is we're looking for 4 administrators, full-time jobs, paid position, for every county. 4 for every county. They will be the people who will then give orientation. We will train people in orientation also. But they will give the juries orientation before they serve. And prepare the jury. They will also be. We need to train all these people in order to write paperwork and do different things. When a grand jury makes decisions on things, then we have to write the papers for them and assist them in the true bill, whether it's an indictment or no indictment. And if they decide to do a presentment on something, you know, we write the papers for them. They're certainly not qualified to do that. But we have to be very careful, and we want to train people to do it very carefully, because we don't want to insert our will into the will of the jury. This is their job. They're the ones that heard the case. They're the ones making the decision. Same thing with a trial jury. Even though the trial jury is going to come up and say, yeah, guilty, well, it doesn't end there. It does not end there at that point, because the jury not only gets to decide innocence or guilt, they get to decide the law, of course, to make that innocence or guilt. And more importantly, they get to decide the facts, which tells them what kind of a penalty that might be available. And then they get to decide what the penalty is. And so before that jury would read out in court a guilty verdict, they would also write a paper. And we would assist them on the writing of the paper. They, you know, it'd be what they want to do, their conclusions, and we will have to assist them by writing the paper the way it, what is their will, and then allow them, of course, to look at that to make sure it's their will. But we have to put it in proper form, and then that would be read out along with the jury. You know, innocent or guilty, what charges, blah blah blah, and then the final results. You know, they have to give what they think restitution might be, if there is a penalty of jail time. And in a lot of cases, jail time isn't necessary. But it's all up to the jury to decide what needs to be done. What's more important is to bring restitution to the injured parties. And the judge just gets there. What the judge gets is the opportunity to just listen. And at the end, he signs off on the thing, and he signs the necessary papers for the orders for the sheriff or whatever else has to happen. You know, he just signs off the papers, and it moves on. The judge doesn't get to do anything. He just is a traffic cop and gets the paperwork done on his end.
Yeah, I hate when you say that.
I love to tell him that.
And it's the truth, and the judges around here have a hard time understanding and accepting that.
It's amazing when you really think about who do these judges really think they are, that they think that they get the opportunity that the servant shall judge the master? Who does he think they are?
I could tell you who one specifically thinks he is. He was just cited by an appellate court in New York for not disclosing some issues that he has, or that his wife has, some relationships that they have with contracting companies that he was able to make a judgment or a ruling in favor of. So he doesn't disclose this, and they have their financial gains, and all of these things have been cited and on record. But of course, the district attorney isn't going to do his job and now prosecute this person. So I have committees that I attend here that I've organized, and we've taken complaints. The FBI is currently in Sullivan County. They came here last week and they arrested 36 people. So we have issues with the habeas corpus and quorum nobis. So we would like to get the habeas corpus filed, because they obviously don't have the jurisdiction, but the sheriffs are allowing it to happen in the corrupt court systems.
So we're working. Are we working on a habeas corpus for you?
No, we haven't yet. See, I've started to take the course. I've whizzed through it.
Right, but bear in mind, this course is not for the people to do habeas corpus as yet. It has to go through the process of the going through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury right now, and that brings us together collectively across the nation. Eventually, we'll be breaking off, and actually, it needs to get down to the county business. Each one of these things should be done by a county grand jury or a county administration for the jury. But
of course, we have to train, and
we have to move our way into it.
Right, and that's what I need to establish here. I have the numbers. I have the four people that are willing to step up and learn what they need to learn. I'm well-educated and well-versed on this. I'm well-capable to write the habeas corpus or whatever writs need to be written for whatever appropriate case that we need to approach here in Sullivan County.
Well, bear in mind also that the state coordinators and the county organizers within their states, they need to be getting together and trying to organize more the rest of the state to make sure that we can find four people in every county within your state. And, you know, now bear in mind, the people do not have to live in the county to work in the county.
Right.
I want to make this point. Hold on. You could be living in a county next door. And let's say your county is full, but there's a vacancy in the county next door to you. You can go and apply for that position in that county. No problem. You don't have to live in the county. It could be that, you know, you live in one county, but right across the bridge is another county, and that's where the court is. Okay, for instance, Poughkeepsie's like that. Our court is in Poughkeepsie, you know, for the county of Dutchess. And so... the Supreme Court is in Poughkeepsie, New York. Now, if you lived across the river and you lived over, for instance, in New Paul's, or you lived in, goodness, I can't even think of the name, but right across the river.
Right.
Now, you may have to travel up to Kingston to go to work, but you might want to go just across the river. The point is, you can work any county within your state.
And even for our state Supreme Court, our district, the judge who sits on that seat is from Sullivan County. So even though we would have to go to a different county, we're still dealing with Sullivan County people. And
the jury must be pulled from that county. That you can't pull juries from a different county. Okay,
right.
I don't know if that's what you're saying. It's got to be pulled from that county. But the people who are administrating to the grand juries and to the trial juries, remember, they're employed by the people directly. We're going to keep them outside of political realm, and we're going to keep them away from the judicial realm. They are working directly for the people, and that's the only way we're going to be able to maintain control of the courts and keep it to the people, is if the people are the people doing these things. And so there's no political connection here, and you take a vow to God. Now, those people need to then draw the jury out of a pool, which comes right from the counties. And there's very few questions you can ask a person that sits on the jury. You know, they don't, the prosecutor and the lawyer and all that, they don't get to decide on who's going to sit on the jury and who's not. I don't like this guy. I'll pick this guy instead of, no, they don't get to pick nothing. They get picked out of a pool, period. Okay.
Right.
Now, if they're biased or something, or they happen to know somebody, you know, if they know the person on trial, or, you know, those are things that would disqualify someone. But other than that, it doesn't matter who they are, white, black, pink, yellow, green, male, female, it doesn't matter. They are who they are. They just get pulled out of a pool in the county, and that's it.
Yeah. So I have a committee here that I've been running myself, like I mentioned earlier, dealing with the political activism that I'm talking about here in this county. So I have a group of people that I'm now ready to help initiate into this organization, the National Liberty Alliance. They aren't aware of this organization, but are aware of the common law process through what I've been teaching, and that's the
Yeah, but they need to come and get training from us, okay?
Right.
You know, we will fight tooth and nail to prevent anyone from coming into the system to take a position that has not gone through the prerequisitional courses that we've set up or in the process of taking them. Okay, they have to be in the process, and they have to take a vow. If they don't, if they refuse a vow, they can't take the position. And now we are counting on the people to execute this judgment within their counties. So if you got four people in a county, and let's say one of the people in that county is out of order, well, the three can dump the other one. They have to go to that person, the fourth one that's out of line. They have to let them know, hey, look, you're out of line. You're breaking your vow here or this or that. It's inappropriate. You know, you need to just confess it and tell us that you're not going to do it anymore, and let's move on. And if they refuse to do that, then those three people can fire. That's how a person would get fired on this position. They could fire that person. Now, we also are setting up a safety net for that, too. Whereas, you know, they can have one appeal to a sister county, a county next door or something, and they can go to those people over there, those four individuals, and appeal to them. And those four individuals will hear the case from the position of the other three plus the person, and then they'll make a final decision, and that'll be final. This gives a fail-safe system to someone being kicked out because three people got together and decided they want to try to kick someone out or something. You know, and that, of course, in itself would be an evil doing. And if that was the case, then I think that other jury, that county, that group that came together, could now put the pressure on those three and maybe even can them. In other words, we have to be self-policing. It's not going to be any one person. It's not going to be a leader anywhere of a state or a county or the nation. No, it's the people themselves. They got to police themselves. They have to take their vows. They got to be true to their vows. They got to hold each other to their vows, and they got to get rid of anyone who rejects it and breaks their vow.
Right. John, I'm glad you said that. I wasn't even going to bring this up.
I'm sorry. I didn't step on you, but I think what you're saying is he feels that he knows enough to write them, but we don't know what he knows. Now, the process that goes on when you're training is the same process John puts people through. He gives you one to write, and then you write it, and then he looks at it, and he makes sure that you got it right, because there's different perspectives it has to come from. So after it goes back and forth like that, I don't know how many times he feels that you have it, that you're able to look at it from every perspective and write the papers thereof, then you become a teacher. And I think, you know, if he wants to follow a process and go through one of our teachers and he advances, I mean, look, he's got his own case here. He's got his own people. He's got things going on that he needs a habeas corpus written for.
Well, that's the way, no, all habeas corpuses right now must go through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. There's no other way we're going to permit it to go anywhere, any other way at this point. And it's not a ego thing. It's not a thing of control. It's nothing like that. It has to do with power and authority coming in one accord into these courts and being consistent constantly with all of our paperwork. And you see, the more and more people we train, the more and more consistent we will become.
John,
I'm
going to address Jan for one second. You answered my question perfectly, and that's exactly what I'm looking to do. So who do I contact in order to show my ability to write the habeas corpus?
Well, first of all, are you taking the civics course?
I am taking the civics course. I was whizzing through it. There's one part that I'm stuck on. I'm absolutely sure I'm correct.
Well, then get in touch with, there's help. Go back to, you'll see help there. You can click on help, and someone will help you if you're stuck on a place where it won't let you go through because there's an error.
I'm going to give him two things. Listen.
Yeah, but let me just finish on this error. One of the key things to the error problem is shut down your browser and clean the cache, clean out all the cookies, and then come back in, and then you'll be able to get through. That's been really the way. For some reason, sometimes these cookies get stuck in there somehow, and it won't let you go past the next section.
Right.
So that's
okay.
To clean it up. If you can't get it that way, then go back up to the top of the page where you go to join the group, and you highlight that for a drop-down, and you'll see you'll be able to get a hold of someone that will give you help. What does it say? Help with quiz. Right there.
Okay.
You click on that, and you'll send an email to Kathleen, and then she will assist you.
And the other thing you want to do is try to copy and paste the answers. It seems to work better. That's the other thing I wanted to tell them.
And this section is on yes or no answers.
Well, we have trouble with people typing it in and different fonts and just crazy stuff.
Well, not the different fonts, but they spell it wrong or something, or there's a space and they don't realize it in front or back, and it's not supposed to be there. But look, here's the other thing. When you went in and signed up for the civics course, did you check the box that says become an administrator?
Yes.
Okay. So now you have all the pre-required requisites to make the next step. And that is to take the course. So all you have to do, soon people will see a button where they go right to the IRC page, click a button, join, and then go through the process, and someone will make a contact with you. You know, we'll work all that out. But until then, just get in touch with Don Boxley, he's the director, and join the group.
And that'll be for the RIT training?
Yeah,
for the ABS program.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay, great. Okay, and the other thing I was going to mention is what you had mentioned about the hierarchy and there being no, like, I understand the fact that everything needs to be checked and certified so that it's going and it's going forward.
And that will never stop because, you see, even when you get, let's say you got four of you people working in a county and someone takes on to write up a writ of habeas corpus. There's, someone wants to, you're going to do a habeas corpus for someone. They're doing a petition, you're going to grant it. So you're even going to help the person to write the petition because people don't know how to do that. Eventually we'll train people in schools because we need to teach these children in school how to do this. Okay.
Well,
but anyway, you write the paperwork, but you don't. But this is important, and it's not just for you, but it's for people listening right now. When you write the paper in your county, you got four people working, you write a habeas corpus. Well, you don't just file it then. You have to pass it on to one of the other three people, or maybe all three of them, and let them look at it, because they have to look to dot the I's, cross the T's, and also, again, assist. Everything is an assistant. We assist each other. Okay, but there'll be all kinds of different setups. We're trying to get people who are schooled in each state that can be an advisor on different questions and problems. And then on a national level, we'll have plenty of, we'll be still be advising from this level here when people have a problem or a new situation. They never came up against this before. And if we don't know the answer, we'll research it out and get the solution and help the people to figure out how to do these things and then post that solution so others that come up to it will have that solution. You see, it's the people working together and educating each other and checking each other. Nobody is an island here. And there is no one boss. It's we check each other's work out, and we should have no problem with doing that and handing our work over to someone else for scrutiny.
Yeah,
but anyway, I wanted to get that out. Go ahead.
Okay, and so the last thing is ideas for funding. That's something that I would like to speak to you or somebody about, because we have things here that we do that we get funding for and that we need funding for. And to be able to do this as an organization, that's on our end, to be able to pass the resources over to you to help with the writing and the writs, then that would be obviously something that would help both of us. And I hear you mention funding all the time, and if it could be done on a crowdsourced level, that's something that, I think.
Well, one thing, we've always been on a shoestring budget. It's probably healthy that we've been on a shoestring budget. Whenever we run into a crunch, we make the note that we really need money. Like right now, we really need money. So, and usually people, all of a sudden, some money shows up. Sometimes we'll get a big check for one person. It's really nice, a couple of thousand or something. And it really kind of ends up solving the problem. Sometimes, we'll get a lot of people who throw 50 or 100 bucks and we'll get enough money to solve the problem. So we've been good that way. And even though we've approached rich people and we have never really gotten money from rich people, you know what? I think maybe it's best that we should be struggling. It builds character in us anyway, and it also keeps us humble. And we're not rolling in money, so there's nobody making money here, and so there's nothing that people can make a claim. Oh, they're collecting $100,000 and they're sticking it in their pocket or something. Whatever they want to think. So we're probably better off, but of course it would be nice if we had someone that was a millionaire that'd throw us $100,000 to really give us a boost. I mean, that would be really great. if that was possible.
I wish I had a millionaire's bankroll also. But pooling resources is obviously a great way to go, and that I think is something that from our end we would be able to help on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if there's anything you can offer for us, we'll definitely look at it. Look, at some point, okay, every grand jury out there would still have a budget, and we'll work out the arrangements on how to create a budget and where to get the funding from the state and the forms, and, you know, we'll help people with all that stuff when that time comes. You know, there'll be need for a web presence. Well, we already have a web presence. It's through National Liberty Alliance. We will be the facilitator of that. We'll be a facilitator to continue an ongoing education. We'll be a facilitator to constantly give out advice and be advisors to people when they have a problem and a question, and help them find a solution to whatever the problems may be. There's also another side of National Liberty Alliance that most people don't know about because we've set it aside, and that is the political side. We do have a political side, but it's not. We don't play with the politics. It's all about really bringing in, you know, people and getting, you know, getting people really qualified running for office. We're looking to bring statesmen in. We don't care about Democrat. We don't care about Republican. But we do want to educate people from the political side to understand. You know, to be able to come in and see and put in their zip code or something, and they'll see, okay, who's running for election this year? What are the offices? What is the job of each office? What is the requirements for the individuals? Who's running? How many people are running? Maybe get a 500-word essay where these people are running against each other, that they can file in a 500-word essay, which we would post to tell people on what they're all about, and then they can end it up with a website or something for more information. But we really want to get the informative voter. We want people to really not go out there and push the D button or the R button, but to really look at the individual, to look for statesmen, and also we want to start requiring, look at, if these guys are running for office and they've never taken a constitutional course, they don't know American history, they don't know, you know, what they need to know. They don't have this knowledge. Well, we'll offer them the knowledge, and then we'll give them the credits so that when they run for office, they'll have those credits. Yeah, they came and they took our course, or they did a constitutional course, and they understand. You see, because most of these guys, they never even read the Constitution, and they're in office, and they have no clue about the Constitution. I mean, what's that all about? That's how bad off we are. So we got to clean all that up. We got to fix that. And so we also, you know, and all of this will cost money, of course, and at that point we'll be funded, you know, National Liberty Alliance will be funded by each of the grand juries in every county, the grand jury administrators, who will be funded, of course, directly by the county itself, and then we will give access and communications and phone numbers and addresses and information. You know, someone, all they have to do is come on to National Liberty Alliance and go to find the grand jury in their state, by in their county, just by putting in their county and their state, and voila, they'll have a direct phone line and a fax number to the administrators for the grand jury. They'll be able to call them up and talk about a problem they're having with an elected individual or some political office or something, and we can get real solutions. And also, we can be giving out certificates of completion for courses that people take, making sure that the people are educated in the positions. We can work with the committee men, which is a big part of the process of where we really started from. And we want to get to the boots on the ground, where, you know, every election district has a committee man. And now, when you make a connection right down to that level, okay, where you get every election district in America, and you can start to send information about education, which gets into every grassroots level in America, okay, you can get campaigns going. We can also start moving our schools and getting our lower schools, you know, the grammar schools and the high schools and even the colleges, you know, to get certain education into these schools, and make sure that the parents control the schools and not the government, and get it back to the way it should be, and have a real classical education. You know, a classical education only requires 8 years. You don't need 12 right. years of school. You only need 8 years of school. And in 8 years of school, you should be pretty much college level. What college level is today, you should be able to achieve in 8 years. The reason we don't do it is because...
Yeah.
Yeah,
the educational
our schooling rots. It's horrible.
Sir, the educational system is my focus, and I'm going to reach out tomorrow to you, to Jan. I'm going to send the emails, make the phone calls, and also to Don to get on the appropriate committees. I have a great skill set that I know can help push this initiative forward. I grew up with the saying, and it was common sense isn't so common anymore. And
right. Well, we got to get back to common sense, and it starts off with common law. But with that, we've really come to the end of our program. So we do have other callers. We're not going to get to them. We apologize, but and we're like 10, 11 minutes over our time. So we're going to end it right now. Good call. I appreciate the time, and we'll talk again. So, Lord willing, we'll see everybody next Monday. And again, please, everybody, get involved. Join the committee. And if you're not giving $5 a month or more, please give $5 a month or more. Everyone, most everyone can afford that. Okay, I got people that are on Social Security that give $5 or more. Matter of fact, I had a friend, every time I see him, he throws me $20, and he's on Social Security. I said, no, he needs the money, but he wants to see this thing work. Okay, so everybody should be able to afford $5 or more, please. All right, with that, good night. Thanks for everybody for listening, and we'll see you next Monday, and we'll pick it up from there. Good night.
Nothing's good, the news is bad. The heat goes on and it drives you mad. Your life.